This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
6:10 in the morning. Hawks play tonight, and Sunday is the final home game before the playoffs, isn't it?
No, it is not.
When's the final home game?
Actually, they have four home games remaining, Steve.
So Sunday is the final one, then?
Sunday is the last Sunday.
Is Sunday
morning.
The last?
It's the last Sunday morning.
At 11:30 puck drop.
It is at 11:30 puck drop.
No, is that so? My point is Sunday morning the last 11:30 puck drop against the Bruins?
Yes, it is.
At the United Center
yes,
this year?
You nailed it again.
That's what I thought. That's my point, Dave. What I'm trying to say is Sunday is the Hawks' final 11:30 puck drop against the Bruins at the United Center.
Yes, it is.
In the regular season.
Yeah, it's the last of those.
Right, right, right.
They
right.
have three
I'm
home,
glad we cleared
I'm sorry,
this
they
up.
Have three home games left.
Did they really?
Yeah.
You sure?
Three in a row.
I should look at the schedule.
They have Arizona Tuesday night.
Yeah, that's not
good.
And
they've
for
got
me.
St. Louis Thursday night.
Okay.
And then they go to Columbus to end the regular season.
So three out of the final four are home games.
That would be the correct math on that, yes.
All right, now that we cleared up the Hawks mystery, what's wrong with Hossa?
He's sick.
Yeah, what's wrong with him?
I don't know.
Is it an upper sickness or a lower sickness?
I did not specify that.
Okay.
That actually is a fair question.
Yeah.
That is a fair question.
Right, right, right. All right, so the Hawks mysteries continue, but we feel like, and, you know, Q told us this yesterday, mm-hmm. And I said this at the end of the Q talk, that, yeah, we felt better after talking to Q. He was pretty upbeat.
He was. And, you know, I think this team.
He has a good time on this show. You know, when we talk to him, he has fun. When he talks to the beat reporters and the throng over at the United Center, he looks like he wants to punch them.
I think
Q wants to punch them.
I think that's...
Dave, is the official opinion of WGN Sports that Q wants to punch the reporters?
I think unless he's smiling, he's kind of got that look.
Yeah, it's
sometimes.
True. You know what it is? It's the mustache.
Could be.
It's the mustache.
Could be.
The mustache. Don't mess with the stash. Here's what we know. Duncan Keith meets with the NHL officials when?
Today, it's going to be a phone hearing. He gave up.
That's good because he could roll his eyes on the phone.
He can. He can hold the phone away and yell at it.
He could do this thing where he claps his hand together like
yes.
blah, blah, blah,
he
blah,
can
blah, blah.
Gesture all he
yeah,
wants.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they do it via Skype. Or FaceTime.
Ooh, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, then yeah. In that case, maybe not.
I keep seeing reports that it's going to be more than five games. I just don't know how that's fair. To use the words of Donald Trump, it's unfair. Everything's unfair. I just think that you can't take him out of the playoffs.
Well, I think the question is going to be, can he make a compelling argument to the Department of Player Safety that he was also an aggrieved party in this instance, and it was retaliatory, but he had just had his legs cut out from under him.
Was it a legal check? Was it a missed penalty? I hadn't even thought about that. Did the other guy? I can't think of his name.
Coyle.
Yeah.
I don't know because that kind of got lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
You know, because there was all you saw really was the stick swinging
when he went Game of Thrones on him.
Yeah.
The obvious answer there is don't hit him in the head with a stick. But I maintain that he didn't know he was hitting him in the head.
Because he was
just wildly swinging
the
stick.
He was just swinging it, which...
Which he shouldn't do, obviously.
Say, yeah, that's not a good idea.
That's not a great idea.
Yeah.
I think I'm a little more skeptical about that. I love Duncan Keith, but it clearly looked as though he was...
Well, he'd have to be magical because he was looking away.
You know the camera?
Like, I think what we should do? We should recreate it where somebody comes into the NHL offices and Duncan Keith actually goes to the NHL offices with a stick. Mm-hmm. And then he lays down in the same position and he swings the stick to see if he could hit the NHL officials in the head. Let's say Bettman. Let's say it's Commissioner Gary Bettman stands over Duncan Keith and Duncan Keith tries to hit him in the head with a stick.
I don't like Bettman's chances.
I don't think Duncan Keith can do it.
Really?
Yeah. No. I don't think he can do it. No.
One for two?
I look at it this way, and you guys may say I'm a homer, but I look at it this way. Mm-hmm. What's the player's name?
Coyle.
Coyle?
Charlie Coyle.
I believe Coyle's head got in the way of Duncan Keith's stick.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
And I think
sure.
that is our line of defense.
You can't argue that. It did.
Right.
You think he was acting?
No, no. I think if Coyle's head had been in a different position, mm-hmm. the stick would not have hit him in the face.
Right.
I think it's hard to argue that.
Like if his head wasn't attached to his neck, but rather to, say, his knee?
Well, that would definitely be the case. But, Dave, that's ridiculous. What I'm trying to make is a legitimate legal point.
You're right. What was I thinking?
First caller always wins. 616. Now, if you are the first caller, 312-981-7200, you could be a big winner in just a second. If you're a kid that's up this early and you're thinking about swinging a stick and hitting your friend, don't do it. Unless your parents aren't looking. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it at all. No, don't do it. Don't do it. It's a bad idea. Is this the first caller? It's Victor. All right, we got to go to Andre first. What's going on?
Well, Steve, Saturday it's a must-win for the Bulls on WGN-TV.
It's important.
They battle the Pistons for the final playoff spot in the East, and this is not the final home game for the Bulls. Bulls-Pistons Saturday, 6:30 WGN-TV.
You have to change your expression from and give me plug face versus breaking news face. That was breaking news face. I thought the city was on fire.
Wait,
again.
How's this?
I thought it was Great Chicago Fire 2.
No. Which, by the way, Chicago Fire was filming in the building yesterday. Did you see that?
I saw him out there. Yeah,
and out in the parking lot?
Yeah, I was in a couple scenes.
Were you?
Yeah. I walked out and they said, you want to be in a couple scenes.
Were
I said, sure.
Were you lingering trying to find Taylor Kinney, too?
No, they asked me to stunt for Taylor Kinney.
Oh, yeah, because I wasn't doing that.
And then they asked me to stunt for Lady Gaga as well.
Mm-hmm. How'd that go?
Well, it was weird. Mm-hmm. Taylor Kinney's. But I got to say, Taylor Kinney's a good kisser. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, isn't that her boyfriend?
I thought you were doing the body double thing.
No, not anymore.
Oh.
No, those days are over.
Okay.
I used to be butt doubles for, a lot of major actors.
Chino, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Should we move on?
Yeah.
Okay.
We should.
Victor, you're the first caller. Good morning.
Thank you. Hello.
How are you?
Doing well.
Do you listen every day, Victor?
I do.
Well, then you must be a big winner because I am giving you an app gift card. Pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at app.com, abt.com, so you can enjoy that. You ever see West Side Story? I mean, West Side Story done really well?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard it.
You're going to go to the Paramount Theater in Aurora, now playing through April 24th, West Side Story. Tickets at 630-896-6666 or online at ParamountAurora.com. Those are pretty good, aren't they?
Sounds good.
Now, do you have a question for Lou as well?
How do I straighten my foundation?
All right, hold that line. Hold that thought. Let's pretend we didn't do that yet. Hold the line. All right, let's start Lou now.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable until you are. It's the time of the show.
Texters welcome as well as 312-981-7200. Let me go back to Victor in just a moment. You guys let me know when Lou's ready. Where is Lou? Where's the Manfredini? Oh, he's on this button now.
There you go.
There you go. I thought you were on the phone, my friend. How are you?
They have this fancy microphone for me, the Mark Sapelsa microphone.
Oh, you're using the Sapelsa?
Yeah.
Does it smell musky? Does it smell like Old Spice?
It's either, it's funny. It's either Old Spice or English leather.
Mmm, both strong.
Correct.
Yeah, the old Drakkar Noir. He didn't have that.
I forgot about that one.
Okay. Yeah. High karate.
Right. Those were good ones.
All right. Let me do this and go back to Victor. Hey, Victor, guess what?
Yep.
Guess what? You also win a ChevyDriveChicago.com WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug and a bag of Papa Nicola's coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. But, Victor, because you're the first caller for Lou, the big, big prize, are you ready? Are you sitting down, Victor?
I am now.
Okay. You get an April Air event-based thermostat brought to you by the leaders in Chicagoland's indoor comfort, American Weathermakers, where you can take control of your temperature and the air you breathe. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. Victor, I'm no expert, but the total prizes that I've given you so far are over $175,000.
Well, that sounds like good math.
Yeah, it's not bad. All right, now what's your question for Lou?
Well, actually, I just bought an old house, and the floors are kind of crooked in it. Almost like the house is kind of leaning towards one side. How do I straighten the floors or the foundation?
Why'd you buy a crooked house?
The price was right.
Mm. Ah, got it. All right, hold the line, and Mr. Manfredini will take it from here. And be easy now, because Victor is excitable.
I can tell. Well, so if it's an issue with the foundation that is listing and the whole house is kind of moving, then you want to get a structural foundation company to come out and literally lift the house and write it out of the ground. Now, that is something that our friends at PermaSeal can do with their structural division. They can literally come out, they'll dig holes around the perimeter of the foundation and put down these push piers. And they
jack that bad boy up.
They do. It really is amazing. I have seen this done several times, and it goes down to bedrock. They put pin after pin after pin, and then they wedge and bolt this clamp, essentially, under the foundation itself. And then once they have it secured, they can just literally, by the quarter eighth of an inch, jack the house up to exactly where it has to be.
And you got to be good at that. You don't want amateurs coming in to do that, do you? You crack the house.
You will. No, actually, but what's amazing, Steve, is when you see it done on the inside where there's been this crack, you're like, oh my gosh, I see this crack. It gets bigger and bigger. You'll see it just close up as they lift that one corner of the house.
Yeah.
And then it's done because it's gone down to the bedrock, literally. It's not going to ever move.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
It's pretty cool. It's not an inexpensive proposition. However, from a value-added proposition, it's definitely worth the investment.
Well, yeah, otherwise you got to sell a tilted house.
Well, right, and it's just never going to, you're never going to get your money's worth out of it until you fix those deficiencies.
Well, there you go. So far, you're not as good as Lindsay was last week.
Yeah, I heard she was terrific.
Yeah. What was that about, by the way, where you're just like hanging on the line? It was like there was a sick pilot. Like somebody had the fish. I have to talk the pilot down.
You know where I was?
The amateur was flying the plane.
I was on vacation with my family in Mexico.
Well, we love Lindsay. She can be on the show anytime.
At one of these these inclusive resorts, which, you know what the downside to those resorts are?
No.
You have to get up at 6 in the morning to go save your chair.
That's true. I do know that.
I hate that so much.
He's not lying. I've been in that position where you gotta go.
It's the worst, right?
You and then set the alarm to go save your chair.
Exactly. And I'm walking by the pool with my phone in my pocket, and I see all these people. I go, you realize this is crazy, right? We spent thousands of dollars to wake up on our vacation to go put towels and a book on a chair.
Too bad they don't have an app for that now.
Well, usually there's a guy named...
There should be an app for that.
Usually there's a guy named Juan that you give $20 to.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And Juan in the corner says, Señor, these are your chairs. But I couldn't find Juan.
Yeah. Well, you just hand out $20 left and right anyway, don't you?
You do. You do a lot of tipping.
Conrad will take 20 off you right now. I can tell you that. We continue with Lou Manfredini, sponsored by American Weathermakers. Question for Lou. What's the name of the drain cleaner you mentioned a few weeks ago? You said use it on drains that are not clogged, just drains that are slow.
Insta-flow. Rhymes with slow.
Insta-flow.
Very good.
And why is that for a partially clogged drain? Because so it said it's still got to work, right?
It has to work because the chemicals in this product, they're like a bunch of little chips. And when you activate it with boiling water, you place it over the drain, you pour the boiling water over these chips, and they go down and start to sizzle and react. A lot like what... Brioski used to do, or Alka-Seltzer, when you drop it into a glass. And so as it goes down and it's percolating, it's eating up all of the clog and, in particular, the gunk, which is an actual term, and opening it up. But I need the flow, a little bit of flow, to take it through to then, you know, kind of expand the, essentially, the arteries to open it up so it'll drain.
We get this question every week now. When do I treat my house for insects so they stay outside this spring and summer?
Well, really, I would say that this is the week you can start doing that. For ants and creepy crawlies and whatnot, there's perimeter products that you can put down. There's a product by Bonide called Revenge. There's a product by Taro that will do a great job with ants, and it's a powder that you can sprinkle around. If you have animals, cats and dogs, you just want to be smart about where you put it. They'll leave it alone, and it won't, they're not going to bother it, but just be mindful of it, of where you put it. And then on the inside, use those same products, the indoor versions, to kind of give it the 1-2 punch.
When should I have my driveway repaved or changed? What does change mean? Concrete, I guess, huh?
Well, if we're talking about recoating a driveway, if it's asphalt, early spring, as long as we get a couple days with no rain, works great because temperatures aren't too high. The trick with that is you don't want to do it when it's over 80 degrees because the stuff just dries too quickly. As far as replacing concrete or asphalt, get on the list because they're already lining up. And if you call someone today, it's going to be at least a couple, 3-4 weeks before they get to your house, and that'll be the time.
You like concrete versus asphalt?
I do. I do. It costs a little bit more, but I think when it's done by the right contractor and you put the right products on it to protect it, I think it's a better long-term solution.
All right. And I used InstaFlow last month. It was close to a miracle. This is from the 630 texter who says, Lou, you're a miracle maker.
Well, I didn't make the product, but it's a good one.
Let's go through some plugs. You got a couple of Ace Hardware stores that are just doing great. Who's your favorite employee?
My wife? No, I'm not. I'm my wife's favorite employee.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Right.
Do you get special parking at the house?
I do. Yeah. Well, it's the second
employee
parking
of the
spot.
Month, Lou Manfredini.
It's the second parking spot, but it's sure. Right next to the first one. It's like the guy that got to park next to Jay Leno that would say, do you have a parking spot? And they would say, yeah, I park right next to Jay Leno.
Yes, 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 yes. And that's the right take by you.
Right.
And how are the stores? Are they doing well?
They're doing, you know.
Where would I find the Lou Manfredini Ace Hardware?
Well, there's one at 5423 West Devon in Edgebrook in Chicago.
Edgebrook, yeah.
And the other one is at 46 South Villa in Villa Park. And, you know, we have terrific, I have to tell you, Steve, and this is just as an owner, we have a terrific management staff that has built a great group of people to work there.
Well, that's good.
And we let them do that. They make that call.
Because you know what you don't want, Lou? You don't want a bunch of turnover. You don't want to have to hire new people every 12 minutes.
No, we have some terrific, terrific people.
Let's do a special this weekend. Let's do a special this weekend. If anybody comes into either Lou Manfredini Ace Hardware store and mentions my name, everything's free. Everything's free.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, we should probably talk about that before those
meetings.
What time are you on the radio tomorrow?
I'm on at 7 o'clock tomorrow from 7 to 10. We're talking about a way to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and not have to turn the lights on.
Okay. It's frightening where that was going.
The clapper? Right.
It's similar.
Oh.
And, careful what you clap.
And then also we're going to talk about therapeutic bathtubs that have a door.
Therapeutic bathtubs at the door. Okay. I'm sort of picturing that.
Yeah.
It's Lou Manfredini, and he's available to you in just moments on Channel 9 tomorrow on the radio and all weekend on TV as well on Channel 9. Check your local listings, and please proceed accordingly. Thanks, buddy.
Love you.
Well, love you back. See ya. It's Lou Manfredini. Have you met Lou?
I've heard of Lou, yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
Lou's a good guy.
Jake, what do you want me to do now? I'll take a quick break. We'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Elise Glink on Money coming up here in a little bit, but before we get to that, let's do traffic, and then Kevin has something he wants to share with us on his final morning show.
Yeah, his final show.
Where he starts sleeping in with his new best friend, Ro. Yeah, did you hear him sucking up yesterday? Did you guys listen yesterday to Ro? Oh, Ro, you're so funny.
Did you really say that, Kevin?
Really? Yeah,
just like that?
That was unbelievable.
That's He's a great ball. Guy.
Yeah, it's just really
Oh,
ball.
Here we go.
Yeah. Oh, Anna, you're so pretty.
You talk to Anna like that, too?
I do. Oh, Violette, I wish I could spell your last name.
It's weird. When I'm on the afternoons, that's what happens to the voice.
Yeah, it is. You got to get a different microphone.
Yeah.
Once again, I am the man of 1,000 voices. Yeah. 6:45, we'll get to Kevin's final food review on this show.
Last one. Is he going to do, he's never going to do these?
It's a tribute. It's a tribute. It's kind of a, you know, this is one of Kevin's great moments.
Yeah.
He's going to do a final food review live because this is what the public demanded. Mm. Well, they demanded he get off the show.
Right.
And they demanded that he do one more terrific fast food review.
So he ate the fast food? He wasn't supposed to.
I think this may be from memory. Well, listen, I don't give this a
surprise. Oh, okay. Yeah. From days of yore?
Well, we'll see.
Gotcha.
First off, Mary, with your traffic trouble spots, what's happening?
Couple accidents. First off, the inbound Ryan at 31st. Still have an accident there. One reported outbound Eisenhower at 25th and Carroll Stream at Gary and Fullerton and Sugar Grove at 47 and 88. Some rainy conditions to deal with this morning. Traffic sponsored by Arm & Hammer Clump & Seal MicroGuard Cat Litter. New Arm & Hammer Clump & Seal MicroGuard Cat Litter seals and destroys odors with powerful odor eliminators in Arm & Hammer baking soda. Plus, it prevents future bacterial odors. And they guarantee it. 7-day odor control guaranteed. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
Rosie, you had a message show yesterday. We announced that Kevin is going to be doing sports for Roe going forward, which is great. And I meant what I said yesterday. I'm proud of you, and it's a great thing for you.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. And like I said yesterday, over 600 shows. It's going to be weird, and I'll miss you guys. I've loved every show and every moment here. I really have. It's been a blast on and off the air.
Well, that's nice. And but it is a really good thing for you to do, and you'll miss us most 2 weeks after you start working with Ro. no, it's you're going to be great with those guys.
Thank
you. It's going to be good. But we were talking and go, well, what can we send Kevin off with? Because this is Kevin's surprise goodbye show.
Yes.
And I'm very surprised.
So we have some surprise pizza coming in.
Pizza coming in. Yeah. Yep.
But at this point, it seemed appropriate, and you were willing to do this. Right. One more fast food review.
Yes, and as we've talked about the past few months, I've been suffering and have been staying away from fast food.
Yeah, lost like 25-30 pounds.
25-30 pounds, no fast food in the first 3 months of 2016.
Right.
But there's this new item out in the fast food.
Are you ready for the music?
Yeah, it's called the Quesalupa, and I just want to give a review of what I think the Quesalupa would
taste. Oh, because you haven't eaten it.
Right. So this is what I imagine the Quesalupa tasting like.
Okay, so it's a bit of a fantasy. Music,
it's
please.
It's a fantasy. The Quesalupa. Oh, how I crave you, desire you, want you. You one-of-a-kind 460-calorie, 890-milligrams of sodium masterful beast of a creation, equipped with a crunchy, flaky crust penetrated with cheese, a stuffed, penetrated shell. A genius idea from the legendary award-winning chefs of Taco Bell Corp. I can only imagine biting into the shell. Not too hard, but not too soft. Lovely, moist steam releases from the shell as I dive in.
Kevin's getting emotional. We all are at this point. Just pull yourselves together because I know how sad this is. All right, continue.
The beautiful, gooey, aromatic cheese tenderly touches my lips, then my wet tongue. The Taco Bell...
His tongue is wet. He's not lying about that. He's got a wet tongue.
It's kind of gross.
Well, it's not gross. It's a fact.
Biology,
Mary.
The Taco Bell beef in the shell, patiently awaiting consumption. It satisfies, as usual, with its unique mix of mystery meat, spices, and seasonings. The lettuce and tomato are there, not adding much, but they're there, because they're always there. Reliable, something you can depend on. The zesty, luscious sour cream sauce adds a beautiful cooling effect that invigorates the taste buds. The scrumptious cheese that's delicately sprinkled over the top acts as a nice bonding agent inside the mouth.
I think bonding agent is a word you want associated with your food, don't you?
With freshly shredded cheddar cheese, every bite the ingredients mix together. The shell, the cheese, the beef, the sauce, the spices, the beef, everything forming together for a majestic experience that triggers every sense. It raises the hair up on the back of your neck, tingly sensations throughout the body. I need you, Quesalupa. And we will meet someday.
Oh, is that tremendous? Stand up.
Yeah.
God, everybody stand up. Let's go. Mary, stand up.
All right.
Mary standing up on the seventh floor.
So that's just a general idea of what I think the Quesalupa would taste like.
It was pretty specific, Kev.
Was it? Yeah.
A little sexual.
Yeah. I thought about it once or twice.
Yeah, no, it was total food porn.
Out of context.
Absolute food porn. We're all going to need a minute. We'll be back after this on 720 WGN.
Love that money.
Money. 6:54, the Steve Cochran Show continues. Speaking of money, my friend Dennis DeYoung is doing a show in Milwaukee tomorrow, and I just noticed he's going to be doing Channel 9 this morning. And I forgot to call him to be on this show. But I'm reluctant to apologize because we talked about a month ago about this, and he said he'd remind me. And I said, that sounds right, Dennis. You should book yourself on this show. But he didn't call. So I think I'm going to start a fake fight with Dennis DeYoung, but we'll do that later. Elise Glink joins me now. Good morning, Elise.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
What is the gig economy?
Well, it's a little bit piecemeal. It's people who prefer to work for themselves, maybe make a little bit less money, have a little bit more control over their time. So what we used to call the 1099 economy, right? People who are self-employed.
Does this, from a tax standpoint, make sense?
You know, I think makes sense is kind of an interesting way of putting it. It's definitely more expensive on the tax side because you pay your share of the self-employment tax and you also pay the company side of the worker tax that they would pay. So you're paying about a little over 16% in taxes above and beyond, you know, whatever you're paying for income tax. Whereas if you work for a company, they're picking up half of that.
So the upside is freedom. The downside is it's more expensive. But we hear millennials all the time in particular say, you know, I'm not that interested in making a bunch of money. I'm interested in having a life.
Well, there's a couple of interesting things here. So first of all, in addition to paying a little bit more in tax or a lot more in tax, you're also responsible for all of your own benefits, right? There's nobody there with a 401k.
That's a good point. That's a good
nobody
point.
There with health insurance or disability insurance or any other kind of insurance that your a company may normally give certain types of workers. And so all of that falls onto you as well, and that can be much more expensive. But on the flip side, as you say, people like to have control, particularly millennials. We hear this. I actually sat down to have lunch yesterday with a guy who talks about how you should retire at 6 or 7 different points of your life and then come back into the workforce. He's 35. So there's an interesting difference.
He needs to shut up.
I nearly choked up my salad.
I don't even know who he is. He needs to shut up.
But it's an interesting way of thinking about it.
Yeah, no, it is. And look, it's whatever works for you in this life. And we seem to know from everything we've seen, and there's a number of different reasons for it, that if you're 22 and you're getting out of college in a month, you're probably going to have 6 or 7 different, quote, careers over the course of the next 45 years of working.
Yeah, you absolutely will. And you're going to really need to learn skills and not a trade. So all of the, if you think about how people, you know, this is maybe 100 years ago, right? Ford opened up his factory. People went on the line. You have manufacturing jobs. But even manufacturing jobs change in very short order these days as more and more technology is introduced. If you think about being a car mechanic, that's a very technologically oriented, computer oriented thing. I mean, look at, I barely know how to turn on my car anymore. So there's definitely been a switch in what kind of skills that and adaptability you need to have in order to make it in today's workforce.
And there's no reason we all can't get along, people. Just because it's going to be done one way by millennials doesn't mean that the rest of us who are used to a certain way of doing things can't do well in the jobs we have. Now, the people that I feel badly for are somebody, say, over the age of 40 or 45, who is pushed into a position to very quickly relearn a skill and tool themselves up so they can get a job.
Yeah, I think it's really hard. The older you get, the idea that you're going to take a year off from the workforce and then come back into it, or even 6 months, is really, really scary. The closer you get to whatever retirement is going to look like for you, if you haven't put money away in your 401k, as most people haven't to any significant extent in this country, that kind of thing gets very scary. And when you lose your job, and yesterday when I was talking to Steve Bertrand, we were running through some of the bigger numbers of people who'd been getting layoff notices, Chicago State University being top of the list with 900 people suddenly getting a layoff notice due to the budget crisis. And, you know, that's a very terrifying thing when you've been in, let's say, education for 20, 30 years and suddenly getting a layoff notice.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Terrifying is right. You're doing the Wintrust Business Hour today?
I am.
Yeah. You do a nice job of that.
Hey, thank you. It's a lot of fun to sit in on Stevie's shoes.
Yeah, we don't like Bertrand. We like you better. No, Bertrand's good.
Now.
And we look forward to hearing you this afternoon. The gig economy, kids. You've already learned something from today's show. We'll hear you at noon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks. That's Elise Glink, and you can follow her. Her website is thinkglink.com. And what was her?
Twitter?
Yeah, what was it?
I think it's at Glink.
Was it at Glink?
I believe
that would
it
make
is
sense.
At Glink. She's great.
ThinkGlinkMedia.com will also get you to everything associated with it. Seven twelve in the morning, right after the show yesterday, Dave, you and I sat down with Jay Billis.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jay. Jay, big shot ESPN basketball guru for years and years and years and years. Played for Coach K.
Yes, he did.
He was a Dookie.
Yes, he was.
But he always tells it straight up. He's very straightforward. So as you go into this final weekend, on the slim chance that your bracket's still valid, But certainly, you know, you're going to be watching the games tomorrow night and the championship game on Monday night. We started out by talking to Jay. All right, look, Syracuse wasn't even supposed to be in this tournament. Do they have a shot?
There's no question they have a shot. I mean, I think when Syracuse has played its best basketball throughout the course of the season, they've proven they can beat anybody. And it just depends. Like early in the year, actually, as the year started, I was doing that tournament in the Bahamas where Syracuse wound up winning it. And, you know, Jim Boeheim was saying before the tournament, "Hey, if we make shots, we can win. If we don't make shots, we can't beat anybody." And you know how Boeheim is.
Sure.
But he was right. His team performed at a really high level there, and they were making shots like crazy. And I think they've gotten better and better defensively. Their defense hasn't been the issue, but when they've lost, their offense has let them down. And that's going to be the issue against North Carolina. Are they going to be able to rebound with the Tar Heels and keep them off the offensive glass? And can they operate at an efficient level on the offensive end? Because whether it's going against man or Syracuse's zone, North Carolina puts up points pretty easily, and they're much better defensively than they were a month ago.
The big advantage that North Carolina would seem to have, Jay, and you alluded to it, is their rebounding and their offensive rebounding. I was among those looking forward to a North Carolina-Michigan State matchup. I think you had the Spartans in your Final Four as well, because I think that would have just been a war on the glass. But what does Syracuse have to do to offset that? I mean, if North Carolina gets so many second shots.
Well, first of all, North Carolina's really good at it, so you got to give them credit for it. But in trying to limit the amount of high percentage second shots they get, I think Syracuse, you know, they're in the 2-3 zone, your rebounding is positioned. It's not like in man-to-man where sometimes your big guys can be out top or something like that. They got to get back to the glass. The big guys on the baseline have to do a good job of blocking out. You know, even though in a zone it's more difficult to get blockout responsibilities, you can still do it. But the main thing is the guards have to rebound. You're going to have all five guys that are taking the responsibility of defensive rebounding. So they have to get their noses dirty and stick them in there and get rebounds. If they don't, and you leave it up to the big guys, you're going to have guys like Justin Jackson are going to be able to come in from the wing, and they're going to grab a number of offensive rebounds. And look, Syracuse can get out-rebounded and win. They can't get badly out-rebounded and win. That's really the issue.
You know, you look at Villanova and Oklahoma. But first off, Buddy Hield sounds like a guy that owns a pool hall. He does. You know what I mean?
Or a car dealer. Sounds like a car dealer. Come down and see Buddy Hield. We'll give you 50% off.
Exactly. And Oklahoma absolutely flattened Villanova. Now, I know you got to play them one at a time, and I know you got to stay in the moment and all these things, but we're still talking about kids. How do these kids keep that out of their head if Oklahoma gets out to a fast start?
I don't think they'll worry about it. Most of these guys have had to deal with a loss here and there, and everybody's got their demons and all that. I think the one thing, you know, that game was played in Hawaii. It was in, I think, November, if I remember right. And Villanova shot, I think it was 4 of 32 from three-point range. They're way better than that. Oklahoma knows it. Villanova knows it. And I think that the Oklahoma guys, well, both teams are mature. They're older. They all know that what happened back then is of very little consequence to what's going to happen now. It's a nice thing for all of us to point to. They've had the experience of playing against one another, so they're not going to be surprised by anything. But I think you would be dealing with a couple of very immature teams if they dragged any baggage in from that game. Will there be extra motivation for Villanova in preparation for this? Maybe a little bit of a mental edge as they prepare. With their sharpness and all that, but I seriously doubt once the ball goes up, once it's tipped, that'll be of any consequence at all.
Now, that was the peach basket era, wasn't it, when you played in the Final Four?
Yeah, short shorts and Chuck Taylors, we all had grease in our hair. It was a wonderful time in America.
All right, Fonzie, the UConn question came up this week and about the UConn women dominating, and a lot of people turned to you for comment on it. For people that didn't hear your take on it, where were you?
Well, it all stemmed from something that Dan Shaughnessy had tweeted from Boston Globe about. Yep. He was tired of watching that. He wasn't going to watch, and how UConn women's basketball was bad because of their dominance was bad for the game. And I don't have a problem. Somebody says they don't want to watch, and I'm not going to start calling somebody misogynistic or something if they don't like women's basketball. I don't care about that. But I the thing about, somehow dominance being bad for the game struck a chord with me that, you know, nobody said that about UCLA in the 60s and 70s when they were totally, I mean, that wasn't dominant. That was beyond dominance. They totally dominated.
Right.
And it grew the game. It helped the game. And, Edwin Moses didn't hurt, hurdling. And, we haven't seen the Patriots hurting the NFL. You know, it's all kind of nonsensical in that regard. If we're talking about what people are going to watch, my sense is the numbers are not that different when we had, games going back and forth. Actually, more people watch UConn play women's basketball than watch other teams. So I think the analysis is flawed, but I think we just kind of need to appreciate sustained excellence when we see it. And that's all I was saying, because I really appreciate what Gino Auriemma and his teams have accomplished. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, and I think they draw people to the game in the same way Tiger Woods drew people to golf that weren't necessarily golf fans.
I think so, and women's basketball and women's sports in general do not attract the kind of eyeballs and attention that I believe it deserves. That is a sociological and societal issue.
Right.
But if you're looking at just sort of the idea that having a dominant team or a dominant person in a sport is bad for the sport, because, we want to watch the drama of it come down to the last shot or the last putt or whatever, coming down to the tape. I just don't believe that's true. I absolutely don't believe that's true. We haven't seen that. I think it grows the game, and I think it is going to increase competition in the women's game. We're going to see the levels of the game of performance on the part of everyone rise as a result of UConn.
All right, Jay, before we let you go, we know that Kansas is gone. We know Michigan State's gone. Oregon's gone. Who wins this thing?
Well, if you go to LGGameDay.com, it will tell you that blue wins more national championships than any other color. I tend to think that that North Carolina is the best team without regard to color. I think Carolina, because of their inside game, their depth, the way that they score, the efficiency of their big guys, I thought Carolina should have been the best team from day one. They had some ups and downs, but absent them shooting the ball really poorly from the perimeter, I don't see Carolina losing here at the Final Four.
You the same voice, Dave? You got Carolina?
Yeah, it's hard to see them
Listen, I don't even drink, and I'm picking Syracuse. I just got a feeling for Boeheim, and I think this could be a big, big weekend for him. Again, it's LGGameDay.com. The colors are blue wins big, red second, orange third, green fourth. But who you got this weekend? Check out LGGameDay.com. Great color statistics, tips how to create your best game day experience. And Jay Billis, always appreciate your time, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Speaking of money, moneyanswers.com. Jordan Goodman's here. Nice to see you in town.
Great to be with you.
And let me get a mic that actually works for you. There we go.
Great to be with you in person, you bet.
And it is an interesting timing here because, and I think in about 5 minutes, don't we get the new jobs numbers?
The unemployment numbers, correct.
What is the story with the jobs numbers? Because if you talk to anybody on the right, they'll say they're rigged.
Right.
If you talk to anybody on the left, they'll say Obama is overseeing a boom economy. So what's the truth?
The truth, I think, is a lot of people are not being counted in the unemployment numbers.
Okay.
And so the numbers we're going to get today, they're looking for maybe 200,000 new jobs, something like it. We'll see what we end up getting. I think there's lots of people that have just dropped out completely, and they're not being counted.
Also, do part-time jobs count the same?
Part-time jobs are in it. In fact, most of the jobs being created are part-time.
So it's not a realistic picture of, say, a support-my-family economy.
Exactly. And the people who are getting jobs, in many cases, are not getting benefits. They're 1099 people. They're not getting any health insurance or anything like that. We talked, Elise Glick talked about the gig economy.
Yeah, yeah.
Where's all the growth today? People renting out their places for Airbnb,
right,
or Uber drivers, that kind of thing. The companies don't want to pay benefits. So
the thing that we miss in the media constantly is we report on things that are new, these interruptions,
mm-hmm.
These things that are changing the way we do business. They're cute as a story. They're not cute if you've built a business for 25 years and
right.
suddenly you have to reinvent the wheel.
Well, people talk about being disruptors, you know?
Yeah.
Well, if you're a disruptor, that's great. Or if you're the disrupted, you're not too happy about it, right? If, I mean, traditional taxi drivers have a really hard time competing with Uber. I mean, in some places around the world, they shut the streets down completely protesting against
it. Yeah, I still don't understand how it's fair. I don't. And I think Uber's a great service. Uber and Lyft both are great services. But I don't understand how it's fair for somebody to pay, literally in New York or Chicago, hundreds of thousands of dollars for a medallion.
Right.
And a guy down the street with a Taurus can open a business tomorrow.
Exactly. Medallion prices have dropped dramatically because of that. That's right.
Right.
So this is the disruptive part of the economy. But, you know, there was a guy named Schumpeter, Joseph Schumpeter, who called creative destruction is what capitalism is about. So there are going to be winners and losers, and that's the way it is. You can't kind of stop market forces. As you know, I went to China last year, and China tries to overwhelm the market with brute force. It works maybe in the short term, in the long run, it just does not work. When I was there, I was in the Shanghai Stock Exchange right in August when the market is plummeting.
Sure.
Okay? And so basically what they did in China, they said, okay, we're going to force buying and ban selling. Okay, so we forced buying by forcing companies to buy back their own stock, forcing executives to buy their own stock, that kind of thing. They put a $400 billion, what I called market stabilization fund, to force people to buy, basically. And if you sold, they'd shoot you, basically.
Right.
They had what they called malicious short selling,
right.
Which means you're trying to profit as the market's going down. They sent the police in and arrested them, basically.
Yeah, but they're the ultimate judge and jury of who's malicious and who isn't, right?
Exactly.
Right.
But I'm just saying that's an example of the Chinese trying to overwhelm market forces. So in the short term, it destabilized, and the market fell right after that. So you can't overwhelm market forces, ultimately.
You have an opportunity to go to moneyanswers.com at any time. Jordan returns all the email. He talks to everybody.
I do.
He's really out of his mind.
but
he honestly does. He gets back to every listener of this show. But here's the thing that I think is important. You have worked with and vetted a group of people and experts over the years, whether it's credit cards or mortgages or whatever the case may be.
Right.
And student loans and things, so that you have ready resources at moneyanswers.com, along with books and different things that you've done as well. So it's a good website to go to immediately and to reference back many, many times. But before we get to all that, when we come back on the other side of the big story, I want to ask you specifically about what this election may do to the economy.
Absolutely.
You know, Trump is a threat to all of us. How big a threat is he to the economy?
I need dollar, that's what I need.
Jordan Goodman's here, and moneyanswers.com is the website. You called it pretty much on the number.
Yep. It was 215,000 new jobs. The unemployment rate went from 4.9 to 5%. That was a little bit worse than expected, but the job number was a little bit... I was expecting 200, so 215. It's okay, but we could still... There's a lot of people who are looking for work out there.
All right, so let's talk about this presidential election.
Yes.
All jokes aside, which is hard for me in the world of Donald Trump. Are any of these candidates good for the economy?
I think there are some things about Trump that could be good and some things would be completely disastrous.
What are the good things?
The good things, I think, we should have fewer regulations. He talks about deregulating in various ways. I mean, not like wiping out the education department. That's a little bit much. But I think in the particularly financial services, the Dodd-Frank is way over. It's really hard for people to get loans because of that. Healthcare, we just have too many regulations. So I think cutting that would be good. He's talking about cutting taxes to some extent, I think is okay. I think he'd do it too much, though. I mean, the estimates are if what he proposed actually went in, we'd lose about $5 trillion in tax revenue over 5 years.
Well, that's the problem with Bernie Sanders' plan as well, because Bernie Sanders wants to pay for everything.
Well, he wants to raise taxes dramatically. He's talking about the top marginal rate being 73%, Bernie Sanders.
Right.
Which means everybody moves to Monaco or someplace.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Anyway, so I think taxes, could go down. That and tax simplification would be good. We have the top corporate tax rate of 35%. That should go down to maybe 20-25% because all these companies wanting to move overseas, and they've got $2 trillion overseas they're not bringing here because of that. So that would help.
I think the difficult thing for people to wrap their heads around, and it's completely understandable, is those that run for president and all the ideas they throw out over the course of the campaign, if they get two or three things done, during the course of a term, it's almost miraculous. I mean, for instance, Ted Cruz, you can fill out your taxes on a postcard.
Not going to happen.
No, of course it's not going to happen. You're going to eliminate the IRS. It's not going to happen.
Correct. I mean, Obama came in, and basically he only got things done his first 2 years because he had a Democratic House and Senate. He got through Obamacare and Dodd-Frank. When you get down to it, that's about it. The rest of it has been completely executive order. He hasn't gotten anything through Congress of significance, really.
So overall, with the economy not being front and center with the discussion of this election. Obviously, Bill Clinton was right back in the day. You know, keep it simple, stupid, and it's the economy,
Right.
And people are mostly concerned about how to pay their bills, and that's really what it comes down to.
Well, that's right. That's right. But the other thing about Trump's policies that I do not like is the trade side. I think we could get into some really dramatic trade wars, which is not good for the economy and not good for the stock market. Okay, he's talking about 45% tariffs on China, 35% tariffs on Mexico, and of course they're going to pay for the wall, all these things. Those aren't going to happen.
It's nonsense.
It is nonsense. So if he did that, let's just say he did that, okay, they would immediately retaliate with their own high tariffs. Global trade, which is already weak, would go down even further. It would hurt U.S. exporters. It would hurt both sides. I'll just give you a recent example that happened. Obama put a $1 billion tariff on Chinese tires that were coming into the United States because he said they were dumping them. The next day, the Chinese put a $1 billion tariff on American chicken going into China. So both sides got hurt. You know, then maybe they made their points. But high tariffs make things worse, not better. We learned this supposedly in the 1930s.
So in a globally interconnected economy like never before,
right,
isn't the cat out of the bag here and every other cliche? In other words, there's not a lot of punishment you can do to other big countries who you're totally dependent
and
on.
And capital can move instantly.
Yeah.
And capital does move instantly.
It's two clicks.
You know, it's just like this Fortress America or, you know, America First. It's not the world we're in today. So that's what I'm concerned about is a trade war. On top of which, we probably would bomb Iran. So we could have a hot war. We could have some trade wars at the same time. These are not good for stocks.
How concerned are you about financial cybersecurity?
Very concerned. I mean, people are getting hacked all the time, and you both individually and companies. And they took the entire database of all the state federal employees, right?
Right.
So it's like, supposedly there's all these ways of protecting yourselves, but it's not. Let me give you a way to invest on it, though.
Right.
There's a exchange-traded fund called HACK, H-A-C-K,
okay,
which is all of the cybersecurity companies in one place, Palo Alto Software, CyberArk. That's a good place to invest because long-term, I don't think hacking is going away.
Well, it's not going away, but my, you know, my sleepless nights would be spent if I were running for president trying to figure out a way to protect against, and this is not happening, okay? If you're only half listening now, I want you to hear what I'm saying. This is not happening. But somebody gets up today, they're a 14-year-old, they're really good at writing code, and they figure out a way to hack into Chase Bank.
Yes.
And suddenly they move all the money out of Chase Bank and wipe out everybody's fortunes, whatever those fortunes may be.
There are people trying to do that all the time.
Right. Yes. That's the ultimate, isn't it?
It is. Well, I mean, they could do all kinds of things. They could do the electrical grid. They could do the transportation system.
But if you take people's money away,
that's bad.
You're going to start a problem.
Yes.
Yes.
It happened. Well, people get hit by ID theft all the time. I mean, you talk about LifeLock. That's real. It's
right.
Happening to people all the time. So, yes, I think that is a big thing. They're doing what they can, but I think they should do more.
HACK. I like that idea.
Yeah. Trying to make you money. HACK
Interesting.
Is the symbol for an exchange-traded fund for all the cybersecurity stocks.
Every time you're on, people want to talk about the stuff that matters most,
sure,
the mortgages, the student loans, the
yep.
credit cards, and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
We'll jump into that in just a second. But this is interesting. I like the idea. Give me a couple more ideas on where people could go, okay, I'm about to pay to have the bank hold on to my money with negative interest rates.
Exactly.
So where can I put $12? Well, hold that thought. We'll do traffic. We'll come right back. More with Jordan Goodman, moneyanswers.com.
You're listening to The Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago on 720 WGN.
Jordan Goodman's here, moneyanswers.com. We're talking off the air a second ago about student loans and refinancing student loans. I don't think most people know you can do it.
Correct. They don't know that. So there's a place called Social Finance, SoFi, and their website is SoFi.com, SoFi.com/moneyanswers is me. They get you the best rate. You can combine all your student loans, private, federal, all of them, into one loan at 2%.
And I think people need to understand that this is not dissimilar to refinancing a house, right?
Correct. I mean, it's
so unsecured. It's nothing you need to fear.
Right. I mean, but a lot of people are paying 6, 7, 10% and all these things, and you get them all into one place. They've refinanced about $6 billion in student loans.
So go SoFi.com/moneyanswers.
And you, I've just saved you tons of money in your student loans.
You can also just go straight to moneyanswers.com and pick it up off your resources page.
Either way,
page.
You bet.
Okay. Let's talk about your house and refinancing your house. A lot of people are a little more comfortable now because they've found a way to refi into the threes.
Right.
Is it going to stay in the threes?
Probably. I mean, interest rates during the first quarter actually fell. So, yeah, you can get about 3.75% on a 30-year mortgage, mm-hmm. about 2.75% on a 15-year mortgage. I mean, this is unbelievably low rates. So I don't know if they're going to stay that way, but give it a try. If your current mortgage is, I would say, 4.5% or higher, it's worth it at least to take a look at refinancing. A website for that would be youcanrefi.com, youcanrefi.com. And they look around the country to get you the best possible deal. So, yeah, I would grab it while you can. You're getting a long-term rate. If you can go from a 30 to a 15-year, that's even better, because I'm big in paying debt off, not taking on more debt.
Sure. And credit cards. Let's talk about credit cards for a second. We had Peter Greenberg, who I think you know. Peter's a friend as well. And Peter was laughing at us about the billions and billions of miles that people have set aside. He's saying, use them.
Exactly.
Use them and use them now.
Well, so some of these airlines, they expire.
Right. So he said... Right. And he said, if you want to buy a magazine subscription, go ahead, use your miles. You just paid $9,000 for 1 year of time. Because that's the equivalent when you start burning off the miles. So having said all of that, when we want to get our credit card situation in order, does it make sense to go after these airline credit cards?
If you're going to use it, yes, it does. I mean, but concentrate on one airline that you use the most, so you have all your spending concentrated so you get the most possible frequent flyer miles. A website to get the best deals on credit cards is creditcardperks, PERKS.com. All the best deals, whether you want Disney points or frequent flyer miles or cash rebates, there's a lot of deals, but the best deals are the ones you have to go after. What you get in the mail are always the worst deals, okay? They're the ones with the highest interest rates, shortest grace periods, highest fees, and so on. But there's some great deals out there. People are paying 18, 25% ridiculous amounts on credit cards. If you're in the situation where you have a lot of credit card debt at high rates, a nonprofit place to help you, I've mentioned it before, is called Cambridge Credit Counseling. CambridgeCredit.org is their website. Their phone number, 800-897-2200. They've helped a lot of your listeners in the past.
Now, there's a thing called negative interest rates that's out there now that people are very concerned about.
There's a term for it. It's called NERP.
NERP.
Which is negative interest rate policy by the central banks.
And this is happening in Europe regularly.
About a third of the countries, all the strong countries of Europe, Switzerland, Germany, Denmark, France, and so on, all have negative interest rates. You go to a Swiss bank and say, I'd like to do a CD. They say, well, yeah, we'll give you minus 2%. You give us a dollar, you get back 98 cents.
So you're losing 2 cents on every dollar.
Correct.
All right. So I'm basically, not basically, I'm literally paying the bank to hold my money.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. And it used to, correct me if I'm wrong, Jordan, it used to work the other way.
No, it's always been, and of course, it's like crazy.
Right. Because I'm giving you money, you're lending my money out, you're making money off my money.
Exactly.
That's the way it used to work.
That is, but you're very out of date. Steve, you know,
I got to get rid of it, don't I?
You got to really get with NERP.
Yeah,
you got to be the NERP guy.
So why in God's name would I ever submit to negative interest rates?
Because
why wouldn't I just hold it at my house?
Because of safety. People would rather lose less. Maybe is a good way of putting it, than have their money be lost. So if you're in the weak countries of Europe, Greece, Spain, Portugal, they're very high interest rates, but nobody wants to put their money there because they don't think they're going to get it back. In Japan, not only interest rates negative for short-term bank accounts, the 10-year Japanese bond is minus 1%. So you're guaranteeing yourself losing 1% for 10 years.
So what are businesses doing?
They're buying safes is what they're doing.
You're not kidding.
There has been a run on safes in Japan, correct, because people would rather have their money in a safe and not lose anything.
But I want people to understand, we are not in the middle of a depression here.
In Japan, they may be.
Okay, but this is a regulatory problem that has created a scenario
correct.
That has led to this position for banks to be in.
Correct. Now, we haven't gotten there yet, but if banks in the United States start charging to hold your money, then would be in effect be negative interest rates. We're pretty close to that right now.
Okay, so let's say you're a hardworking schmo. You know, you've got a family of four, you're making 50 grand, you're doing the best you can, you're really busting it.
Yeah.
You know, 50 grand's okay. You can take your family to a movie, you can have a good time, you can take them out to dinner, whatever, but you're making 50 grand.
Yeah.
Okay, you got a few extra bucks, you want to try to put some money aside for the kids or whatever. You used to be able to drive by the bank and the clock would spin around. And on one side, it'd tell you the time, and the other side, it'd say you get 6%.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Those days
anymore.
Are over. So we're not getting anything from the bank anymore. So what does an average working person do for savings?
Here we go. So this is what I'm doing with my own money here. I'm doing what are called commercial real estate funds.
Okay.
And you can get 8% over 18 months, get monthly checks. Every quarter, after 18 months, then they give you a profit share as well. There's a website for this, which is commercialrealestateincomefund.com. And
could they have a longer name? Commercial Real Estate Income Fund?
That's the short version, yes.
Okay, Commercial Real Estate Income Fund.com.
They've got a phone number as well, 888-444-2102. They've been doing this a long, long time. So they buy, they help either renovation or new construction of residential, of assisted living, of office buildings, a whole bunch of different things. And you're getting monthly checks and no fees whatsoever, no commissions of any kind. And you're getting monthly checks. You can do this inside an IRA. You can do it outside an IRA. So there's a way right there of getting 8% on your money.
Any minimums?
$25,000 is the minimum.
All right. CommercialRealEstateIncomeFund.com.
Correct. And the phone number, 888-444-2102. So that's what I'm doing. We just finished the first quarter. The Dow was up 1.5%. The S&P was up 0.8%. But you remember, it plunged in January and February, and then soared in March. People don't know what to do with their money these days. It's just so crazy. This is a nice, what I call a safe haven investment. To get 8% in this environment is pretty good.
How do you feel in general? You know, we have our concerns in Illinois. I don't know if you noticed.
Yes.
We don't have a budget. Yes. But how do you feel in general about saving for college and the funds that are set up statewide?
I mean, the prepaid plans, I do not like those.
Yeah, and explain why.
Well, because it's ultimately an obligation of the state. And there have been states, like I think Ohio had this happen, where the obligations got so huge they cut the plan off, and it's unclear if they're going to put extra tax revenue to actually meet that promise. So I would not do the prepaid plans. I would do a 529 plan, because then it's going to like Vanguard funds or something like that.
Right.
The money goes in, you get a tax deduction. It grows tax-free as long as you use it for college education.
What's the best place to research a 529 fund?
There's a place called collegesavings.org. And they can do it. And actually, I did a book on this topic.
Yeah, you did. That's why I brought it up.
It's just called The Ultimate Guide to Student Loans.
Jordan, I've heard several people, friends of mine, in the past, I'd say, year, starting to have children, saying, you know what, we need to start saving for college.
Yes.
And they keep saying, well, how much should we save? 100, 200, 500? And, I don't know what to tell them.
Every dollar you could save is when you don't have to borrow when you get to college.
Okay.
People say, oh, but I'm not going to get financial aid when I get to college. Financial aid means loans.
Yeah.
It is not a privilege. It's an obligation. It's a debt.
And you set that up as a mutual fund or through College Illinois? Well, probably not College Illinois anymore.
But
not College Illinois.
Right. Not College Illinois.
Maybe College
I don't know.
Missouri.
Listen, that's not fair for me to say. You should research all of it. You should make a decision that's best for you. You're talking about the safe decision based on your years and years of financial knowledge,
right.
What you recommend. But we're not telling people what to do here.
Yeah, but the idea is to do it exactly what you said, 100, 200, 500, whatever you can afford. Because it's going to be, I mean, can you imagine a newborn today? I mean, it is going to be staggering. I mean, the average is about $30,000.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. But, I mean, for 18 years from now, there's now 150 colleges over $60,000 a year in tuition.
Yeah. Abigail's projected tuition is a gazillion bazillion dollars, and that's actual currency.
That's just an estimate.
So start saving now. Okay.
Unbelievable. It's great seeing you, and moneyanswers.com is the place to go.
I'd love to help your folks. I do all the time. Sure. Have them email me all their problems. I'm glad to help them.
Yeah, and that includes, by the way, sports predictions, love, lottery numbers,
absolutely.
Whatever.
You bet.
Travel safe. Nice
Very
to see
good.
You.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
It's 8:11, and Dean Richards joins us live from Channel 9. Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Hi, Steve.
Hello.
I've been listening to the show, and I give a Dean Richards D-.
I got to tell you something. I believe you and I are in a fight.
Why?
Is this the world-famous Dennis DeYoung?
Oh, Jesus.
Morning, Dennis.
You can't do this to somebody who knows you this well. This is an April Fool's that went bad in about eighth of a second.
Let me tell you something. Here's what happened. A month ago, I dropped my voice to him like this.
Hi, Steve.
So a month ago, I call my friend Dennis, and I go, I just heard you on with Roe, which is fine, but if you ever want to plug a show ever, you just walk in. I'll leave. If you don't want me to be on the show, I'll just give you the show. You just walk in, take a mic, whatever.
Outside of the improvement, who's going to notice the difference?
Yeah, exactly. So, and then I tell Dennis, so anytime, he goes, yeah, I really need your help in March. I got a bunch of shows coming up, March, April. Let me get a hold of you in March. I don't hear from Dennis. I turn on the TV this morning. He's dancing with Dean like they're, you know, on they're off on a cruise somewhere.
I asked Dean, you know, I said, you do this thing with Cochran. It's nearly funny. And I'd like to do it today and pretend that I'm, because I have to work out a thing with Steve, because I want to come on the whole morning, like I said, and give you a day in April.
Oh, yeah, sure you will. Yeah,
no,
I'll stand by.
No,
I'll stand by. I'll just wait here till you call.
Give me a day. Listen, you know, we'll look at the, you know, farm reports from Orion.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dennis DeYoung performing live this morning on Channel 9. You're going to be in Milwaukee tomorrow night?
If I have to be.
Well, of course. Why wouldn't you want to be in Milwaukee?
We're
going to
be
playing at the
what's the hockey team? You know everything about hockey.
It's the Milwaukee
Wolves. No, that's here, isn't it?
No.
Here, Dean's sneaking in here because he's thinking he's losing his job.
No.
By the way, ask me about some of the movies. I'm going to be playing in Milwaukee tomorrow night, but I think it's sold out, so don't worry about it.
Okay, but if you go to DennisDeYoung.com, you'll also see shows coming up in Iowa. You'll see shows coming up in pretty much everywhere but his home state. Does this have something to do with the state not having a budget?
I'm playing Merrillville, Indiana, which I'm coming on your show.
Yes.
To crassly promote.
Listen, it's not crass when you're on. When you're on, it's just a great entertainment time.
Well,
it's class.
I'm not
going
to argue with you, but Dean asked me to review some of the movies today. Go ahead, ask one.
Well, the way this normally works is Dean tells me what's opening this weekend, and then we talk about it.
The Hank Williams movie, I Saw the Light.
Oh, yeah.
Hank Williams, did you ever meet him?
Ask me. He died before I was, like, nine.
1953. He died in 1953, Steve.
Yeah, I was buddy with Mozart, too, Steve.
You remember that Hank Williams song, Your Cheatin' Heart, Mr. Roboto?
Yes.
Remember that one?
It was solid. It was a good song. Here's the amazing thing about...
Ask me what I thought of the movie, for goodness sake.
Well, what did you think of the movie?
I didn't see it.
Okay. Tremendous.
That doesn't stop half the critics in town.
That's for sure. All right, I know you got to go back to work. I love you. You're welcome here anytime. You know that.
Yeah, I'm coming in April. I'm going to call you as soon as I'm done today, and we'll work out the day, because I'm going to come in and bring my keyboard. I'm going to bring some chewing tobacco.
And whatever you want to bring is fine.
It's illegal at the White Sox Park, by the way.
Dennis DeYoung. How are the Sox going to do this year?
I think they're going to do very well.
So do I.
All the Cub fans are going to be. At the end of the season, I predict this. The Cubs are better.
Well, I think that certainly makes sense on paper, but how about a crosstown? Huh? How about a crosstown?
Well, you didn't understand that Madden has figured out a way to play all the games on paper.
Yes. You know what? Knowing him, he probably has. And then he's rolled the paper. All right, stand by. We'll come back with Dean. That's the great Dennis DeYoung. DennisDeYoung.com.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name.
I prefer to think of him as Henry Kissinger. He's already helped save my relationship with Dennis DeYoung. Because, Dean, I was fully prepared to have a fake fight.
You had no idea how much, after I said to Dennis, hey, you want to come on Cochran's show for a minute? Like, the second the words were coming out of my mouth, I thought, I hope they're not having a big feud or fight or anything. And I'm bringing Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin together for the first time.
I was prepared to have a major fake show business fight with Dennis DeYoung.
Yeah, you can't stay mad at Dennis DeYoung.
No, it's impossible. By the way, how great is his voice at 7 a.m.?
Oh, my God.
It's 7 a.m.
That's what I was just going to say. He sang Come Sail Away this morning. He did Mr. Roboto. Steve, domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Sure, of course, what you said.
He had his Mr. Roboto mask with him. And then he closed the show with singing Lady.
That was written for Robin, wasn't it? Robin Baumgartner?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We thought it was written for Jerry Lewis. Lady!
Right.
His voice may be better than it's ever been.
It's really crazy. I remember the first time I met Dennis, he came into a studio, one of the previous places I was fired from. And again, it's got to be 20, 25 years ago. And he comes in, and I'm thinking, well, he's got to warm up. He's got to do whatever. And he had like a Casio keyboard, and he belts out Lady, like without warming up at 7 a.m. I don't even know how you do that.
Yeah, it's amazing. And he's got this, the show that's coming to the Star Plaza in May. It's Dennis DeYoung and the Music of Styx.
Cool.
Because, you know, some of the other members of Styx, they own certain songs, and Dennis does, certain...
Legally,
I don't know what the whole
thing is. That whole thing ended very oddly, and Dennis had a well-documented health concern, and he wanted to not tour for a year. And again, I'm a little biased here because he's my friend.
Same here.
But if you have the guy that has financed the operation and made the rest of us wealthy for a long time, who says, fellas, I need a year off, you give him a year off. You know, you want to go tour, whatever, fine, but then you come back in the next year. And then it turned into lawsuits and this and that. And I remember Dennis. I mean, Dennis doesn't want to fight.
Dennis is a lover, not a fighter.
He'd fight if he needs to.
I don't say that from personal experience.
But it bothered me. It hurt me for him. I'm not even saying he was hurt by it. I thought it was handled very poorly by the other members.
Exactly. And apparently it's some kind of resolution now that Dennis is, again, doing... Songs of Styx.
He can only do the lead vocals. No one else can do the chorus, that type of thing.
He's got this unbelievable band with him now.
Yeah.
They rock this joint. And, you know, we're all pretty cynical when you have, musical groups in or A-listers or whatever. You know, the people, the staff here, you know, if it takes some effort to get out of the chair to, they would think twice about doing it.
And that includes Larry.
That studio, Larry actually got out of off the desk and came in the other studio so he could say hi to Dennis and listen to them do the songs live.
Now, where do you guys do the music? Is that in the Bozo studio?
That is, no, Bozo studio is Historic Studio 1.
Mm.
Dennis and most of the bands are in Historic Studio 2, and the morning show is in the Ridiculous Studio 3.
By the way, that is the
That's
name
the
referred.
Name for it.
That's what they call them in the hallways.
Yeah, we
at
have
Channel
a plaque,
9.
The Ridiculous Studio 3.
So, all right. Well, good to talk to him, and thank you for that. So, movies this weekend, anything?
This Hank Williams movie that Dennis did not see. Fortunately, I did. Tom Hiddleston, the English actor.
Yeah, he's good.
Plays Loki in the Avengers movies and Thor movies. He pretty much nails Hank Williams. I thought he did a pretty good job in this movie. I knew Hank Williams' songs. I was surprised how many songs.
You're cheating. Is
exactly
that right?
You're
cheating hard, yeah.
Yep. Hey, good looking. What you got cooking?
How about cooking something up with me? Yeah, yeah.
That's a Hank Williams song.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a million of them that you know. Hank Williams was only 29 years old when he died. Huge drinking problem. Huge problem with prescription painkillers. His heart literally exploded. From drug abuse and exhaustion back in 1953, as Hank Williams has been called, he was Elvis before Elvis was Elvis, because you know he came from a very similar background. And this story is about the rise and fall of Hank Williams, warts and all. A lot of good music. Tom Hiddleston does the singing.
How old was he when he died?
29 years old.
I am looking at a Wikipedia list of the songs he wrote.
Yep.
There's got to be 150 songs on here.
Prolific is an understatement.
It's unbelievable.
For Hank Williams. I hope this movie brings more attention just so we learn more about the real Hank Williams, the original Hank Williams. Story could have used a little bit more depth, a little bit more emotion. They keep the story, straight and narrow and pretty much on the surface. It's fine. I enjoyed the movie. It would have been a really great, great movie had they gone a little deeper. But I still liked it, and I gave it a B-.
My dad was a big fan of, the old country music, the twangy Hank Williams.
Old country music?
Stuff. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Ernest Tubbs,
Hank
Williams.
Czechoslovakia?
No, not the old country
Persia?
Music.
He was a big fan of Persian music?
No, the pause is wrong. Not the old country pause music.
Oh, I
the
see.
Old pause country music.
Old country music.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Hank Williams. Of course, I grew up on a lot of Hee Haw, too. Dave, you remember Hee Haw, don't you?
Absolutely.
Kidding me?
Yeah.
Ray Clark, Buck Owens?
I remember the lyrics to one of my favorites. Hee 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 ha ha. Hee 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 ha ha. Hee 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 ha ha. And they say they don't write them like they used to.
No. This is like Behind the Music today.
Yeah, it really
it's
is.
Like being on VH1 today.
Anything else opening?
Yes, there's also a Miles Davis biopic that's
it's
opening.
It's all music this today. Weekend.
So pretty much all music.
How's the Miles Davis movie?
Don Cheadle not only stars in but makes his feature film directorial debut.
Mm-hmm.
He does a pretty good job. This is not like actual factual biopic. This is an imagined if Miles Davis was in a scenario. What would have happened, but you still kind of get what Miles Davis was about, who he was, what kind of person he was. Don Cheadle nails Miles Davis with his characterization really amazingly in this. So he learned to play trumpet for this film. Ewan McGregor stars in the movie. This is also a really good one. Gave this one a Dean's List B. Okay. And there's also this 80s nostalgia film from director Richard Linklater, who gave us the movie Boyhood and Dazed and Confused. He's calling this the spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused. It's about a group of college students in the 80s. It really doesn't matter what's going on. All you need to know is if you want to see one of the best 80s nostalgia films in a long time, all the music from the 80s, nothing but great memories. It's called Everybody Wants Some. I gave that one Dean's List B also.
I'm so in for that one.
Yeah. And
love 80s stuff.
Yeah. And Nick said this morning before he left that he loved it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Last night
I went to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, because I'm close personal friends with not only Laverne and Shirley, but also Lenny and Squiggy.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But also
Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated.
Right?
Yeah.
But also, as a coincidence, the group Chicago was playing there last night with Earth, Wind & Fire.
Oh, that's a good show.
I got to sit down and talk with Chicago. Next week, they're going to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, finally. So we got a fantastic interview with the guys, which we're going to have next week. But I saw a little bit of the show that is at the United Center tonight. So if people are looking for something to do tonight.
There you go.
You want to see an amazing show. Chicago and Earth, Wind & Fire start the show. They do three songs together. Then Earth, Wind & Fire does a set by themselves. Chicago does a set by themselves. And then Earth, Wind & Fire comes back on stage and they close out the show like a half an hour.
How do you put two giant bands together like that on stage?
I've never seen so many instruments and people on a rock stage.
It's got to be 25 people.
It's tiered up. They, there's the stage, and then they have like a second tier and a third tier.
Wow.
Because there's so many horns and so many drums and so much, acoustics and conga drums. And it was such a cool show. So highly recommending the show. I talked with Robert Lamb, with Lee Locknane, with Jimmy Pankow from the group. They kind of explained a little bit what this show is about that they're bringing to the United Center tonight.
Do we have that audio? We do not have that
audio. We do not have that audio.
I apologize.
Trust me, they said it was fantastic. Really, what they said was, can we just get on stage? How much longer do you need to talk to us?
Did they combine songs like they do Saturday in the Park in September?
There was, they start the show. It's sort of a hybrid of Boogie Wonderland and Beginnings.
Ah.
Really? It's really cool.
I can't hear that in my head, but I'm sure it worked.
Really, really, really cool. So highly recommending that.
And it's funny you say you went to Milwaukee to do this. I went to Milwaukee many years ago to see Billy Joel and Elton John and their first tour together.
Really?
Do we have to go to Milwaukee to get all the good music?
Well,
Dennis DeYoung's going to be there tomorrow night?
They do eventually come to Chicago. I wanted to get a little bit of a head start because it was easier for me to spend an hour talking to these guys, in an interview than it would have been tonight. Plus, also, what the other reason for that is Cheap Trick is performing at the Metro tonight. They are also being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Good Lord, man.
So today I'm going to be hanging out with the boys from Rockford and Cheap Trick and sitting down and talking with them. So I'll be able to share a lot of that with you next week because the Hall of Fame induction is, I think it's April 8th.
April 9th, from tonight,
something like that.
Yeah.
So we'll have these are exclusive interviews, and we'll have them. We'll share them with you. We'll share them on our Sunday show as well, unless other rock stars show up here at the TV station and I put them on to talk.
Doing one of their many voices. Now Sunday morning, are you on?
I am on Sunday morning, and what do we have this week? Oh, Don Cheadle.
There you go.
One-on-one with Don Cheadle talking about playing Miles Davis.
Cheeds, as I call him. Cheeds is on.
And really?
No, I've never called him Cheeds in my life.
Did you say cheese?
No, Cheeds. C-H-E-A-D-S. Cheeds. Cheeds. I call him Cheeds or D-Man. Those are the two things I call him.
Maybe I was in Wisconsin a little too long yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you say cheese?
Everything sounds like cheese to you. And any final words for Kevin on his last day of producing the show?
I could not be prouder.
Yeah, isn't it great?
I send him notes and emails all the time when I hear him doing the sports, how proud I am.
He's doing a great job.
He really flew as a producer when he joined you.
He started with you.
Prior to being with you, he worked with me on Sunday and couldn't be a nicer guy, a greater guy, more talented, smart, and he deserves all the success that's coming to him. I'm very, very happy for him.
He just flipped off both of us and said he doesn't need us anymore.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing right now.
Have a great weekend, buddy.
See you, bud.
Back with the big story next.
Ryan Dempster.
Steve!
There's a 1-1 to Freeman.
Oh, he caught it! Right into the palm of Dempster's glove.
Ooh,
that is a little smile there from Dempster.
What would Harry say right now about this win?
Well, I gotta tell you, there's a lot of champagne in here. I haven't seen this much champagne since my wedding. We had a party just like this. It was phenomenal. Go, go!
That was outstanding.
8:41. Everybody loves Demps. Live for the party. And a great, great go-to pitcher for many, 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 many years. Now he gets to do what we get to do. Sit back and judge others. And does a great job of that as well. And very excited to have Ryan Dempster for the Steve Cochran Show Weekly to talk about baseball. Welcome back, Ryan. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, morning. Absolutely. Great to be on.
I understand that you just dropped your kiddo off at school. Is that the regular routine now?
Actually, it's her birthday this morning, so... We're normally regularly, but the Chicago schools teachers are taking a little day to strike here. So
yeah, that's so helpful.
What a treat for her! It's her birthday, and she gets to take the day off. So it's all right.
That's Riley, right?
Yeah.
And happy birthday!
Yeah, 7 years old today, so pretty awesome.
How's she feeling?
Good. Oh man, she's doing amazing, man. From where she was 7 years ago this day to where she is now is pretty incredible, and just awesome to see, and she's thriving, enjoying first grade, and
God bless,
hanging out with all her friends. Yeah, it's awesome.
And are you still doing foundation work to try to raise money for the cause?
We were for a while. It was a great almost 6 years of the foundation, and we're
right.
Transitioning into another avenue now. So
well, you'll let us know because
another family.
You'll let us know because you're always welcome here to be happy to be your big mouth for anything related to making kids better.
Oh, thanks, man.
All right, so before we get to baseball, let's talk about what really matters. It's almost hockey playoff time. And we're a little concerned about the Blackhawks situation now in ways we haven't been in previous seasons. Should we be?
No, you know what? I don't think that people should be as much as people are. I hear the rumblings out there. You know what? When you look at it, I look at a stretch last week. There was a bunch of games where you had Rosenthal or Erhoff leading the team in minutes from the defensive end, and I think that just shows you what Coach Q is doing as far as giving guys Duncan Keith, Seabrook, and Yarmolson, these guys that he knows he's going to have to lean on in the playoffs to play a lot, giving them time off, giving guys other opportunities to tighten up their game. I know you don't want to sit there and say, "Well, we're in," and these guys have played longer than everybody in hockey for three out of the last 5 years. They're out there banging their bodies around, and I think that they're just prepping for the playoffs. I really do. Any team, the parity in hockey is incredible. It's probably as good as any sport there
is. True.
Any team can beat any team on any night. You look at the Vancouver Canucks beat the San Jose Sharks last night. Who would have thought that? So, but I think he's doing a good job and understanding what it takes to get all the way through the playoffs and giving guys rest. And I think that come playoff time, those guys will be ready to go.
And you've got to go through the Blackhawks if you want to win the championship. They are the champs until they're not. And there's nobody in the NHL in their right mind that goes, "Oh yeah, give me a piece of that."
definitely not. I think, to sit there and say there's a switch you can turn on or off come playoff time. I don't know if there's technically a switch, but you're talking about guys with incredible experience, three Stanley Cups, a bunch of guys on the team with three cups. And the biggest concern for me when I look at it is Corey Crawford making sure he's healthy, because he's leading the league in shutouts. He's
right.
A stud goalie. And so if they can get him back healthy playing, I think that they're the team to beat again.
You played hockey. What position did you play?
I stand. They called it stand in front of the net and let the puck go off you on the way in.
Oh, yeah. You were the deflector.
Yeah, I was one of those guys. I got the nickname Tiger after Dave Tiger Williams, so you can imagine what my game was modeled after.
Nice, nice. We saw Dunk the other night lose his temper, and I still maintain he wasn't swinging for a guy's head, but, it happened. What's the one time on a baseball field where you really lost your cool?
Oh, wow. on the baseball field, I think the one time I had hit Michael Tucker. Michael Tucker played a season or two here in Chicago with the Cubs, outfielder. And I hit him. He went down. He was going down to first base after the bench is cleared because he started jawing and our catcher went out. I didn't say anything. I still hadn't said anything. Finally, everything dust clears the air. I'm on the mound. He's over at first base, and he's still jawing at me and jawing and jawing and jawing. And I just kind of snapped. And I threw my glove down and my hat down, and I just told him that, you know, either put up or shut up. Like,
I believe what Ryan said for you youngsters listening was, I take exception to what you're saying, Mr. Tucker, and if you'd like to continue this discussion, meet me right here.
Well, the best part was I made a quote in the paper after the next day it came out. I said, you know, the last time I checked, they didn't build a fence around the pitcher's mound. So he was welcome to come out there. Well, all the guys on my team, they love to have fun with me, and they went ahead and built a fence around my locker with it.
That's tremendous. Yeah, that is tremendous. I remember you dinging A-Rod, and everybody was hoping you'd knock his block off.
Yeah, you know what? That was when I look back at all that, you know, I'm really glad it happened. I don't know. It was pretty entertaining, that whole scenario. Case in point, you know, the reason you hit him wasn't because of all the rumors of the things that he might have taken and put in his body, or the things that he actually did put in his body. It was just how he was acting about everything. And
sure,
there he goes and gets hit by a pitch. And instead of just going to first base, he makes it a big spectacle standing there at home plate.
Showtime.
But the nice part about that is anytime I go back to Boston, now I don't have to pay for food or drinks. So that's good.
Stand by 1 second. More with Ryan Dempster after we take care of traffic. Ryan will be on with us, Dave, make a note of this, Dave, because you need to be here for these.
Yeah. Well, I'm here every morning, Steve.
That's a good point. I should probably make a note of that.
But when will he be?
I mean, Thursday mornings.
Thursday mornings.
We're excited about it,
but
Ryan Dempster.
It's Friday.
Yeah, we're doing a special thing because the season's kicking off on Monday. And since this is Kevin's last show and Kevin's going to be doing so much Cubs-White Sox coverage, I thought it'd be good if Kevin actually jumped in on this and talked to Ryan Dempster as well.
Okay. Great idea.
And, Andre, if you have anything that you want to bring to this party, feel free.
Yeah, I was going to ask Ryan. Ryan used to be my neighbor.
He owes you money. All right, so Dempster owes Andre money. We'll get back to that in a second as well. But first, here's traffic from Mary. Wintrust Community Banks Hour continues, and Ryan Dempster is the guest. What part of Canada are you from?
Gibson's, British Columbia.
Right.
40-minute ferry ride outside of Vancouver.
Andrea says she used to be your neighbor. Does Ryan Dempster owe you money?
He does. We used to live on the same street. I moved, though. He was too much of a partier. Well, I don't want to say it. It's your street. It was your street.
Does he still live on that street?
I don't think so. You don't still live up there, do you?
I still live in Lakeview, yeah.
Okay, well, then I can't say this.
Oh, okay. Well, I think people probably know.
Because I usually have people flock into my house. You know,
but we're giving out his cell phone number before the show's over.
773.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about all those noise complaints.
No, I know, right? I'm telling you, that neighborhood has so changed. You know, I haven't lived up there in about 5 years, but I lived up there for a long time. And the bars, the restaurants, they're ever-changing, but they're always great.
That's the thing.
It is a really great neighborhood. My entire career playing here, post-career, I'm not a big fan of traffic. I don't like it. So living close to the ballpark was nice, and you know, just people walking in the field, and you know, you see the people out on their front porches playing bags or you know cornhole and having a beer with somebody on the way home from a game was always a fun thing to do. I definitely enjoy this neighborhood.
Yeah, one of the things that's fun watching Demp's career is I never saw a time where you didn't enjoy fans. You were always mixing it up with the people that paid the bills. I thought that was not some sort
classy of
you know planned thing by you. It just seemed like you loved it.
Yeah, no, I'm a people person, and I think I always appreciate, you know, I'm a fan of the game myself, and I'm a fan of people's passion behind it, and I really, really am thankful for, you know, the support that I was given throughout my career, whether it's times, you know, going through injuries or, you know, struggling through a game, and I think when you put yourself out there and just say hi and you know, especially when it comes to kids and the moments that you can do that, just a quick hello, take a picture, you know, sign an autograph. You can really make an impact on a kid's life and on a fan's life. And that's what it's all about, because without the fans, we'd be sitting there playing in empty stadiums making, you know, peanuts compared to what we're making nowadays. So we owe a lot to the fans for what we get and what we have in this game.
Well, Ryan, let's look a little bit at this Cubs team that's going to take the field in Anaheim on Monday night. And people are so excited about the team and about the addition of John Lackey to the starting rotation. But You start with Jake Arrieta. Apparently the blister is no longer a problem, at least for now. And what are the challenges that Arrieta faces coming off a season like he had last year?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the challenges you're gonna have to put on like these horse blinders or some headphones, which Jake does. He puts on headphones when he's getting ready to pitch, which is a good thing. So, because what happens is you've set these expectations so high, they're really unrealistic. The chances of him repeating that season are probably, you know, if you were to look at it, probably 1%. I think the last pitcher who did put up numbers like that and did it the next season was Greg Maddux back in 1995 after the 94 season. So the reality is that's not going to happen. Is Jake going to be a successful major league pitcher who has a chance to win the Cy Young again? For sure. But to post those numbers again, I think are going to be really tough. And so you have to just really, truly, and Jake's really good about this, is just believing in the process. And that's, you know, preparing for my starts, being ready, being physically ready, mentally ready, and then just going out there and performing. And, you know, what we saw him do last year in the second half of the season was incredible. I never seen anything like it for a pitcher just be able to put the ball where he wanted, dominate the way he did. So are there going to be some outings that might be a little bit more rough? Yeah, and as fans and as, you know, Cubs fans, we have to just go, hey, you know what, okay, today wasn't the day. You know, it doesn't mean he can't beat Jake, you know, the next 7 games in a row or the next 5 games in a row, but he's just got to figure out a way, which he's, you know, preparing to do that as well, is figure out a way to just realize last year is last year. You can't do that again for the team as well. And we're setting new precedents this year. I'm going to go out there and be ready to go. And he is, he's physically as good a shape as anybody in baseball. And he'll be ready come opening day to go out there, toe the rubber, and try and get us a victory.
Now, he can't pitch 5 days, though. How about the depth of the starting five?
Yeah, I love it. You know, I look at Lester. I think Lester's going to have a huge year. You know, obviously, if he's hitting homers now, that solves a lot of problems, too. Like you said, the addition of John Lackey, I really, truly feel like it was one of the most underrated signings around baseball. You know, he's a guy who missed some time, had a rough stint in Boston when he missed some time with his elbow. You look at what he's done in 2013, 14, and 15, he's really thrown the ball really well. He feels younger. He looks younger. He's in as good a shape as he ever was in his career. And I think he's going to just be that solid number, you know, number 2-3 starter for us. And then, you know, the luxury of hopefully, you know, getting to the playoffs, you've got a guy who's an ace in the playoffs. That's just the way it works. And then you look at Hendricks and Hamill at the back end of the rotation. These guys, Jason Hamill pitches anywhere close to the first half of the season that he did last year. You know, he battled some injuries in the second half. He's had a really good spring. Kyle Hendricks had an incredible spring. So I think I really like our starting rotation and the depth it provides. And then we have some guys that can fill in. So, you know, it's going to be exciting. 1-5, I like our chances every fifth day of going out there and winning a ball game.
And how about that? And it's just murderer's row. It's murderer's row with the bats. This is the new murderer's row. This is murderer's row 2016.
They have an incredible lineup. These kids are confident. You have a bunch of guys. Really, I mean, you look at it, every single guy in the lineup can take you deep. And that's tough to do. If you look around the big leagues, there's always a lull in the lineup. There's always somewhere where it's like, you know, this guy can't take me deep. He might be able to get a base hit or hit a ball down the gap, but he's not a big home run guy.
But every guy's a threat.
Every single guy, threat to take the ball deep.
Crazy.
You know, and I think when the balance now, you've got some guys adding a Hayward, Zobrist, guys who don't strike out with guys who possibly strike out a little bit more. It adds a little bit of balance to the lineup. And when it does, it starts to become contagious. You get guys who don't want to strike out. Now the other guys who maybe struck out a little bit more before, they start to feed off of that. And it has the potential to be really, really dangerous. And, you know, you can write it down on paper all we want. We got to go out and play the games, but you know, I think once those games get rolling and we get off on a good note, we got some incredible things that can happen here.
Kevin Powell's here, Ryan Dempster. And Kevin was filling in for Dave forever and producing this show. Today's actually his last day on the show. He's going to be doing sports for Rokan. And then he's going to be at the parks all the time covering the Sox and the Cubs. Kev, you got a question for Ryan?
I do. Ryan, Joe Maddon obviously kept spring training very light for the Cubs. And in baseball, with all the numbers they have and advanced stats and sabermetrics, the only thing nobody's really been able to pin a number on is how many wins a manager means to a team. With the Cubs, everything seems to start with Maddon from the top. What are your thoughts on Matt and how he impacts this team? And what was it like for you having a manager you liked playing for?
Yeah, I think, you know, I look at Joe, just being around, being across the field from him, you know, I always kept an open mind. Some of the times with Tampa, I was like, oh, man, look at these guys, and they're clowning around. But then you start to be around it, and you understand it. It's a long, long season, and the impact that he has to be able to allow the guys to be themselves. And when you're yourself and you're relaxed, you're going to play the best you can. And whether or not you can put a number on the amount of wins, it matters that he brings to the field, brings to the team. I don't know if you can actually place a number on that. But what I do think it does is it allows guys to play free, to go out there, play relaxed, know that if they mess up, they're not going to get in trouble for messing up. Are they going to be talked about? Yeah, for sure. Hey, let's do this next time to make it better. He just really promotes this incredible trusting. You know, he said it last year. I have to earn their trust. They don't have to earn mine. I have to earn theirs in order for them to have mine. And I think that's a really, really incredible. He's so forward thinking. You know, I look at what he did all spring training in these stretches. You know, first of all, you know, I saw some articles. Some people wrote some articles saying, you know, this. They're making a joke of it, and they're having, you know, this is serious. And it's like spring training is so long. It's so monotonous. And to be able to take 30 minutes in your day to start your day off on the right note with laughter, with you know, it's almost like relaxation therapy before you're getting ready to go do your job. And I commend him for the way he handles it all. I know what it was like playing for managers like that. When a manager was uptight, it was, as a young guy, it was hard. And I think his impact on the younger guys and having them succeed at a younger age, like he had to do with Tampa, with all these young players who'd come through there, really has the biggest impact. The veteran guys know what to do. I know they appreciate Joe for everything he provides for them and the environment that he provides, but what he does for these younger guys to allow them to realize that they can be successful just at 21, 22, 23 years old, just as they will be when they're 33, is huge. And he really is a difference maker. I truly believe he's the best manager in the game. You know, he knows the game of baseball as well as anybody. He's been around it for a long, long time, and he truly shows on the results on the field with his ball club.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen you play it for him. I think it would have been a lot of fun.
It would have been a lot of fun with both of you guys. Last word, Dave, and then we're short.
Real quick, Ryan, the bullpen. You know, the rotation is solid. Rondon hasn't had a great spring, but what about the rest of that bullpen?
Yeah, I like it. I think it's kind of our secret little, you know, nobody really talked about. And, you know, you talked about that. You said that the lineup and the pitching staff, and this bullpen's, you know, solid, really, really solid. When you look at the guys that are going to be in there, the job they did down the stretch last year that just built confidence going in this year. And I know, you know, Rondon had a tough spring, and you know, sometimes that's pitching in Arizona, and sometimes that's being a closer in spring training. You know, you don't get that adrenaline rush that you do during the ninth inning, during the regular season. And, you know, Stroke has just been lights out, you know, for the past 2 years. It feels like he's been nasty out of that eighth inning spot. And, you know, we've got a good balance of righties and lefties and depth, guys who can throw 2-3 innings, guys like Adam Warren or Travis Wood, you know, a really, really solid, solid bullpen down there. And when you look at the starting rotation, as good as it's going to be, I believe that allows the bullpen to even better, because now you've got guys who are eating up innings and the bullpen isn't taxed every night.
If you're not optimistic after hearing all this from Ryan Dempster about the Cubs, I don't know. We can't help you. We can't help you. No, it's a great listen.
But I truly believe my word.
I know you do. I know you do. And I'm going to let you get back to your birthday girl there. Happy birthday, Riley Dempster. But really looking forward to having you on the show weekly and whenever there's baseball news. So thanks for that, and have a great weekend.
You got it, guys. Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, man. .914 Before we get to Ryan Burrow on the day-long walkout by Chicago teachers, I thought it would be the most efficient way to go about this. Today's Kevin's last show, Kevin Powell. Kevin's going to be doing sports for Rowan, covering baseball for WGN. And good for Kevin. But I thought it would be most efficient if Kevin had to replace himself, so he's begun the process of interviewing people to replace him.
Oh, it's kind of a tall order.
Now, technically.
Is that legal?
Technically, this part's illegal. where we listen in on him interviewing.
Oh, no,
we
can't do that.
Put him in a studio. You know, our HR department takes Fridays off. So we put him in a studio. Let's just dip in and listen as he interviews John DeCoste from the show as his potential replacement. Let's listen.
Oh, John, tell me, why do you want this job?
I've been with the show going on almost 3 years. But I've been watching you. How about that? I've been watching you for almost 3 years. And it's so hard because I just know I can do so much better.
Right.
Okay. Right. Thanks for that, John. Tell us why we should hire you.
Well, first of all, I'm already hired. I'm already here. So I'm in-house. It's an in-house promotion. Two, nobody knows the Wheatstone GP16PR better than I do. That's the board, which I'm sure you don't even know what that was.
The what is it?
The controller. It's the controller board, okay? The Wheatstone 6P16P-R. I just watch, you know, I know all the buttons, hot, flash, Q, RV. I think it's RV. The sure level gauge. I know all of that. I can run it all.
What do you consider to be your weaknesses, John?
You know what? I'm a bit of a romantic, so I think on first dates, I probably jump in too quick and go, oh, my God, I love you. I want to marry you.
This is where it gets a little weird, so let's just kind of politely tap out.
I like the romantic part.
So I think we'll just listen in on all of Kevin's interviews as Kevin tries to replace himself.
It's probably a good idea. Yeah.
What's a controller board?
I have no idea. It apparently has something to do with a Wheatstone. Ryan Burrow's here. Ryan Burrow does a tremendous job with ABC Radio and also with us, and we're lucky to have him, and nice to see him.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Out there, a little chilly out there this morning. Not quite as warm as the last couple days.
Sure. We've got a two-parter here, right? Because we've got what happened this morning and then this afternoon. Friday afternoon traffic couldn't be a bigger mess.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So I was out there at, Roosevelt High School, and the protest getting underway. And if you drive through the city right now, you're going to see all the teachers standing on the corners, waving their signs. But this one was a little bit different because now you've got some other groups also getting involved with the teacher strike, including the fast food workers. We've got some higher education workers from Northeastern University and some of the colleges that are impacted by the budget crisis. So, you know, it's not just teachers out there, thousands of people lining the streets in various pockets of the city. And that's where we're at right now.
The people you talked to this morning on both sides?
On both sides of the issue.
Or was it mostly the teachers?
Yeah, I mean, it's the teachers who were walking around. It was the fast food workers, you know, and many of these people we've seen before. I mean, one of the women who spoke at Roosevelt High School was the same woman who spoke yesterday at the airport workers who were protesting out there. So, you know, the message is essentially the same. We need more money, whether it be from state funding or city funding or, you know, as far as wages go.
Ryan, what's the union response to, and I know you were out there when Jesse Sharkey was talking to, what's the union's response to when a lot of the parents were saying, you know what, can you do this during spring break, not on a school day where the parents are going to have to find alternative means of either childcare or where to, you know, send their kids for the day? What was their response?
You know, I mean, he said that this was that the city essentially forced their hand. You know, this is something that's been coming down the pipeline for a while, and this is something they felt they had to do. They felt it had to hurt. You know, and I asked him, so what's the message? Because we're hearing things about furloughs. We're hearing things about, you know, working conditions, various topics floating around. And he said, we just need a fully funded budget. We need to be fully funded. So that's the message they want to get out today.
Yeah. And this afternoon, how's it going to be different than this morning?
You know, it's probably going to be a little more consolidated. These little street pockets are going to kind of come together. Andre, you're going to be at one of the rallies, correct, this afternoon?
Yeah, I'll be at the Thompson Center when the students rallies at noon, and then they're going to meet up with the teachers all there at 4.
Yeah, we've got Chicago State getting involved in this one. I've seen UIC, Loyola people getting involved in this one, airport workers getting involved. They're going to do something at Nabisco as well, something that's been a hot topic about the jobs there at Nabisco. So everyone just kind of comes together, I guess, at the end of the day at the Thompson Center.
And last question, is there just a general belief amongst the folks that the money's there and the folks that have it are hiding it?
Yeah, the issue is the TIF money, right? That's what they all want to get their hands on, this money that's, you know, essentially stowed away and could be used for other things, at least according to them. Now, you know, they say that money should be released.
Nice job, as always.
Thank you.
Ryan Burrow from WGN News and ABC Radio. And at 9:19, we'll take a quick break here and come back. And catch up on a couple other things before we get to the story that's going to be big next week, the Masters. There's a brand new Sports Illustrated out where Alan Shipnuck writes about what happened to Tiger Woods.
Yeah, what did happen to Tiger Woods?
Where is he now? What's he doing?
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to Station WGN.
I'm Aaron, as a little kid, I used to come home from school. And you know, I get the bus would drop me off at my grandmother's. I probably never told you this story. And I'd say, Granny, is there a reason that the music's so loud? And she'd say, if Granny's house is rocking, don't come knocking. That's what she'd say to me. She'd say that to me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't make stuff up. It's 9:25. John DeCostas here, and John and I will have a number of shows to announce on the Very Funny 2016 tour.
Yes.
As soon as we probably announce them next week, I would think.
Yeah, I think we can. I think it'll be set in stone today.
And for those of you wondering what happened to Karaoke, Karaoke Year 2, we're currently suing James Corden from the CBS late, Who's Watching That Show. Because he stole the idea.
He completely stole the idea.
And, you know, he's turning it into his own little cottage industry. But we will bring back Karaoke. We need to announce that next week as well. It's a very busy, busy, busy time. Busy year.
Yeah, it really is.
Speaking of that, how's your YouTube channel?
YouTube is actually going very well. Today in DeCause, or as you call it, some afternoon, early morning DeCause.
What happens is you tell me the title.
Yeah.
And then by the time I go to plug it again, I've forgotten what we searched. So it's Today in DeCause. How do we spell today?
But here's the weird part. You remember today and you forgot to cause. That doesn't make any sense.
T-O-D-A-Y-I-N. How do we spell your name?
D-A-C-O-S-S-E.
Today and DeCause. All right. Now, there's how many videos that are up?
I think there's over 20 now. We just added two more this week. Let Sleeping Dogs Lie and Who's the Boss?
Can you tell me about Let Sleeping Dogs?
Yeah. I am comforting a small dog and trying to put the dog to sleep. But unfortunately, I fall asleep.
Oh, you're trying to put the dog to sleep as in just have the dog take a nap.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant he's not going to die. Down.
Yeah, I thought he was taking the dog out.
Wow. You said put him down.
Yeah, put him to sleep as in you mean have the dog take a nap. And then you doze off instead.
Yeah.
I should probably watch the video. Well, and now what's the other one?
I was going to say you could do that. It'd be easier. Who's the Boss?
Who's the Boss? And that involves Tony Danza and Alyssa Milano?
And Judith Light.
And Judith Light, yes.
Although Judith Light would probably be available.
A-O-A-O-A-O-A-O-A.
What was that? That sounds fun.
That's Tony Danza. A-O-A-O-A-O-A-O-A-O.
That is pretty much Tony Danza. Either that or you're having a medical emergency. All right, so Who's the Boss is what?
Who's the Boss is me telling this small child that he cannot have ice cream. Repeatedly. And then he sits in front of me eating ice cream.
Right. So we can see, this is what I'm talking about. You can go ahead and you could pay money as a membership situation and watch some crazy Swede play video games.
Right.
I don't even think I know that guy's name. I know your name. It's Today in the Cost. And here's the deal. You can actually search Today in the Cost on YouTube and see pointless YouTube videos that John has done that are just as pointless as anything else on the internet, if not more pointless.
I still like Serial Killer.
Serial Killer is one of my favorites.
Yeah, I think it's one of your best.
That is really
Is that
really
where you
good.
Pour the motor oil into
pour
the
motor oil. Yeah,
that's like it's Oscar worthy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Check out all of John's YouTube work.
Yeah.
Some of the dark web stuff you probably should not look at. but check out all of his YouTube
that's
work.
That's Tonight into Cost. That's a whole different one.
This is Today into Cost.
Yeah. And some of that's been taken down anyway.
Some of it was,
And you can subscribe to the channel?
Yeah, that's the best part. It's so weird because we started this, and now everybody, I get my little emails, so-and-so is subscribed. I'm cracking up. So,
yeah, people are checking it out.
Yeah.
People are checking it out.
And I was contacted by Nissan.
Oh.
So, yeah.
About this?
No, I owe money.
Oh, it's your payment.
Yeah.
I understand. It's 9:28. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
Can't help the left knee, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, he's going to have to put a lot of weight on his left-hand side here, just all on a very steep upslope.
What the?
The knee up on ice, Tiger.
Look at this.
You've got another 54-hole lead in a major championship, and I don't think he's attained that kind of position quite like he did today. This has been absolutely remarkable.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow! In your life, have you
seen anything like that.
Two of the greatest calls ever on two of the greatest shots ever from maybe the greatest that ever played. Though that's up for debate, isn't it? Vern Lundquist with the In Your Life call. Vern will be on with us Monday for Masters Week. But right now, I'm very excited to talk to Alan Shipnuck. I've never met Alan. I'm a big fan. And you can follow him at Alan Shipnuck all over social media. He's got the cover story in the new SI on what happened. The most vexing question in sports. And what happened is particulars to Tiger Woods. Good morning, Alan. Thanks for doing this.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, and as I said, I'm a fan. You know, it's funny. When I read the piece, it was eye-opening, but it also made me sad. You know, I mean, is that the kind of vibe you got in writing it?
Yeah, you can't help but be a little wistful when you're going through some of Tiger's great moments, like we just heard, and it kind of takes you back to just how thrilling it was to watch him. I mean, he's probably the greatest athlete of our lifetime and maybe the greatest winner ever. Just incredible. He made the impossible seem mundane, and see how, you know, now how far he's fallen, sort of the depths of despair of his golf game. It's really almost unprecedented in sports to the kind of fall from grace he's had on and off the golf course.
Time flies, but let's remind people, it has been, was 08 the Open? Was that was his last major, right?
Yeah, Torrey Pines.
Yeah, so we're talking 8 years since his last major, and I believe now 11 years since his last Masters. But there are still folks out there who believe he could light it up again at any time, and he deserves that kind of respect from golf fans. But my question is, does Tiger believe he could light it up again?
Yeah, it's really hard to imagine that he still has that same kind of belief. I mean, people forget it was just last year he shot 85 at the Memorial, a tournament he's won five times. Got the chip yips and shot 82 in Phoenix, you know, shot 80 at the U.S. Open. You can go on down the list. I mean, the scar tissue from last season was just profound. And, you know, it's a testament to the cult of personality that Tiger created. He was just so good and so unique that people still want to believe in him. But and you hear, like, well, if he can just get his back healthy, you know, he can be number one again. But that really ignores the reality of how much his game has suffered. And even if you look at 2013, which is really his last healthy year post-scandal, and you compare him to 2009, which was you know, one of his better years, but not one of his great ones. I mean, he was essentially 8 shots worse per tournament in 2013 than 2009, if you just look at the stroke gain statistics for chipping, putting, and driving. And that's a significant fall-off. And if you compare 2009 to 2006 and 2006 to 2000, I mean, Tiger's just, he's been on this downward trajectory for a long time. And that, now you factor in the health, you factor in the emotional fallout from his play last year. If Tiger come back and just win the Bob Hope Classic, I would think it's one of the greatest achievements of his career. Forget about winning another major.
And it's amazing when you think about it, because he's 40 years old. He's 40 years old, and there's guys who peak at 50 in golf now. There's guys who stay in shape, who play, all right, peak may be a stretch, but there's guys who play extremely well and well into their 40s. And you just don't see that for Tiger now. Another thing that jumped out of the piece, again, it's Alan Shipnuck cover story this week, Sports Illustrated on Tiger, is what is his life like now? He's got this beautiful house. He's got two kids he seems to adore. I don't hear anybody say he's not a great dad. But what does he do every day?
Yeah, he plays a lot of video games. You know, there's almost 30 tour players quoted in this story. And that was one of my goals, was to go to the people who know Tiger best, who have been alongside him for a very long time, and hear from them. You know, it's not, I want to keep my own feelings and conjecture out of the story and
right.
Really report it strongly. And in talking to all these players, nobody's in touch with Tiger. Nobody sees him. Nobody texts with him. There's really this sense that he's very isolated, and you know, it's a continuation of his career. The things that made Tiger so great as a competitor, there's a downside to all of it. And you know, he built these walls between him and the competition, and he needed that so he could go out and crush them every week. But he doesn't have real strong relationships in the game. And you know, I talked to a guy like Jason Gore, who goes back to junior golf with Tiger, and I said, "Have you ever had dinner with Tiger?" He said, "No, not once. I would have loved to, but he never asked." And said, why didn't you ask him? And Gore said, well, that's just not how it works with Tiger. And so there's, in talking to all these players, I was really struck by this concern they all voiced for him. You know, that people think he's lonely. Some people use the word depressed. So it was really a pretty grim picture of where he is right now. And that was a big, you know, revelation for me, is just how much concern there is about him.
Alan, we've seen other celebrities, sports figures, bounce back from scandal, especially cheating scandals, including President Clinton, who arguably is more popular now than he was before. How come he hasn't been able to bounce back from this, which many see as his Achilles heel?
Well, certainly the magnitude of Tiger's scandal was bigger than even the president's, because it came about in the social media age. What happened with Tiger is probably the greatest public shaming ever in history, just because the time it happened, the way it all played out. I mean, he was on the back page of the New York Post 20 days in a row.
Right.
It's incredible. So it's also, you know, Tiger, part of what made him so great was that sense of entitlement. You know, he deserved to win a golf tournament because he was Tiger Woods, and right. You were not. And the money, the fame, the women, all of that played into it. And after the scandal, everything was taken away, his self-image, his public image. And he had to reinvent himself as a completely different person. So he couldn't be the same competitor. And I think this, even to this day, is a really underrated aspect in all this. Is, you know, Tiger probably became a better person, but he was no longer the same golfer. And he's been trying to figure out who he is on and off the golf course ever since. I mean, you look at, he's been through two swing coaches since the scandal, and this need for reinvention. And now he's watching videos of himself as a junior golfer trying to go back to the future and recapture what he had. But, you know, that Tiger Woods is gone forever. He doesn't exist anymore, you know, because of therapy, because of the everything else that's happened to him. He's just not the same person anymore. And so it's kind of folly to expect that he can be the same golfer.
And with that in mind, even if he were to regain some semblance of his game and overcome his demons somehow, isn't the new reality, Alan, for him that you look around and that the guys that are out there are better now than he could be, even if he gets back to some sort of game?
Well, for sure. I mean, if you just look at it, like his club head speed, which they measure on tour, last year he was 50th on tour. He's just not a power player anymore, even though he wants to be. So he's playing a longer golf course than everybody else among the top players. Even in 2013, when he got back to number one, he had this fear of playing a draw. He became a very one-dimensional golfer. You know, Tiger at his best could always hit any shot that was called for, even if, you know, other guys didn't have the courage to even try.
Yeah, dial it up, and he was ready to hit it.
And now he's afraid to try. I mean, I'll never forget standing out there at Augusta National in Amen Corner. You know, the 13th hole is this big sweeping dog leg left. Everyone hits this big high draw off the tee. Tiger was afraid to do it. He played a cut over the trees, right, over the creek. It was in the history of the Masters, no one's ever tried that. But that was how little confidence he had with his driver. So you look at the deterioration of his chipping and putting, I mean, which can be quantified in the stats, and you can see it with your eyes, the way he's knocking chips sideways. So he's just so, there's so many holes in his game. It transcends his physical health. It's even if he could get back to being 100% physically, he has so many things he has to patch up in his golf game. And then there's a whole mental aspect. You know, a guy like, you know, Jordan Spieth, he's never seen Tiger at his best. He's not afraid of him. You know, same with Ricky Fowler, same with
none of those guys.
Jason Day.
No, none of those guys. Tiger Woods is the guy they saw as a kid on TV. He is Tiger Woods. You know, I'm 55 years old. I never saw Arnold Palmer play in his prime. It's that kind of split. You can't identify with someone as a competitor who you never competed against. He's a legend. You probably want his autograph. You probably want to tell people you met him, but you're not afraid to play him if you're Jordan Spieth.
Right. And then there's the whole desire factor. I mean, that was another kind of revelation for me in reporting this story, is the people closest to Tiger, you know, they felt even 2005, 6, 7, they saw a drop-off in his work ethic, in his desire. A lot more distractions came into his life, some we know about, some, I kind of fleshed out in the story. And it was just, I don't think he wants it the way he did. And a guy like Spieth, like Fowler, like Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, I mean, their life is organized around golf. Tiger, I don't think he wants to climb the mountain again. You know, he put it this way, he did it better than anyone's ever done it.
Yep.
For a really long time. And I think in this self-imposed exile now, I wouldn't be surprised if he just concludes, you know what, that's enough.
And it's funny you say that, because you end the piece with that, with Jeff Ogilvy who told you, look, he's got nothing to prove. It's just a shame it's not a different ending, because he deserves a different ending. And that's, Alan Shipnuck, that's where my sadness comes in. Look, people can make terrible mistakes and do terrible things to their marriage and whatever the case may be. And at some point, it is their business, no matter how famous they are. All I know is golf's better when he's playing it, and golf's better when he is at the top of the sport. And I'd like to picture him as the guy who maybe is 45, who can't bomb at 330 anymore, but he knows every spot to hit it, and he still has the shots. But if he doesn't want it, he doesn't want it.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I didn't put this in the piece, but in that same conversation with Ogilvy, who's a real golf historian, said, I'd like to see Tiger come back and play like Billy Casper or Peter Thompson, these old-timers. Just bunt it down the fairway, shape shots, try and beat people with his mind. And, that would be a new way forward for Tiger. It'd almost be like he's a different golfer, and he wouldn't... when Tiger last year was struggling to break 80, he would show up at tournaments and say, I'm just here to win because I only play to win. And it was almost sad to see, he couldn't go off script. His brand had been built on statements like that, and he couldn't admit the reality. If he came back and said, listen, I'm not trying to win. I'm just out here to have fun, and I miss being around the boys, and I just want to hit some shots. And if he just turned the volume down on things and tried to play the game differently and tried to approach it differently, maybe that'd be a side door back in. But if he tries to be the old Tiger Woods and be what he used to be, that's impossible. So I agree. It'd be great to see him have a victory lap and just kind of remind people what he was, but I'm not sure that's possible anymore.
Yeah, and by the way, there's nobody. Phil's 46 years old, and if you think any of the guys, including the young guys, are lighting it up in TV ratings, there's a lot of meetings that go on in Florida at PGA Tour headquarters going, what do we got? Because we don't have Tiger. And, entering a generation where you got to hope for the next guy to catch on. Jordan Spieth's great, but he doesn't light it up. He's not camera friendly like Tiger. He's not Mr. Excitement. And for somebody like me that loves golf, you're looking for the next one. Anyway, Alan, great work by you. I hope we can talk again.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, man.
The Blackhawks!
Blackhawks Radio.
720 WGN.
Uh-huh.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk.
Chicago.
O-pedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
Sponsored by Fresh Wave, the official deodorizer of Chicago Blackhawks. Dave, what is today's Hawkopedia?
Well, today's Hawkopedia is Marian Hossa, Steve, on the brink
of
his
life. We're out of time. That's all the time we have for the Hawkopedia.
What? He's been writing it all morning.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. We got 2 minutes to say goodbye to Kevin. Sponsored again by Dave's Hawkopedia on the great Marian Hossa, 499 goals. Sponsored by Fresh Wave. The official deodorizer of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Okay, that was longer than the actual Hawkopedia.
Yes, it was. Dave, I'm going to give you the opportunity to say goodbye to Kevin. I love you. I'm proud of you, and you're going to be great with Roe. I've had enough of kissing your butt. Yep. Dave, it's your turn.
Kevin, they say you're only as good as your last show. Guess what, buddy? This is it.
It's very sweet. By the way, I want to give Andrea credit for the beautiful congrats sign that she put up in her own handwriting white copy paper.
Yeah, with the highlighter.
Andrea, what do you want to say to Kevin?
I have a little poem I wrote for Kevin.
Oh, sweet.
Is it haiku? You ready? Kevin, oh Kevin, how we'll miss you so when it rains and when it snows. You brought us your love of bacon, and now we're left to run around naked. A lot of things rhyme with bacon. Steve taught you life. Dave taught you sports. I taught you love. And John taught you?
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Not a thing. And Mary had this to say.
What did Mary have to say?
What?
Yeah. What?
Now, as you leave for your new gig, we send you off to Row, where you'll be raking in a lot more dough. We've already filled your job, so goodbye. Now go.
That's very sweet.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Wow.
Thank you. Snap your fingers.
Original.
That's very beatnik of you.
Yes. Yeah,
thank you.
My inner zen just for you, Kevin.
John DeCoste, anything for Kevin?
I will legitimately miss the hysterical laughter that you and I had. So it's hard for me. I get very emotional. I will miss you, Kevin Richter.
No, it's Kevin Richter is with Bill and Wendy.
I like Kevin Richter.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care if you're going.
Mary, you're show mom.
I know, and I feel like I'm losing my third son.
Yeah.
What are you laughing about, Kevin?
John.
Whack.
I know, yes.
Anyway, it was great to see you grow in your career and shrink in your body. So
wow.
Nice. Shrinking your body.
Look.
Congratulations.
All nonsense aside, we decided that we didn't really want you to leave, so I've screwed the job with Roa for you.
What?
All right. Yeah.
Oh, no, what'd you do?
No, actually, what we have, and this is put together by everybody on the show, this is the goodbye bag of crap.
Oh, great.
Where there's a little bit of something in there from everybody, so enjoy that. Highlighters, what else is in there?
John, there's a lot. Tissue. There's some chopsticks in there, Kevin. There's a Jimmy John's menu.
Some hand sanitizer from the sports department.
Yeah. It gives me a reason to get out of bed, that's for sure.
Where'd you get that bacon cup?
I got that at the dollar store, you all owe me 13 cents.
Oh, it's hand sanitizer. Oh, man. I always that. That's from the office.
That's from sports, yes. The piece of chewed gum is mine.
Thank you.
Oh, you know what? I'm just getting a tweet from Robert Feeder that Roe quit. In the last 30 minutes. Tough break, Kevin, because we've moved on. Anything you want to say to the listeners?
No, I'll be serious for a second. Seriously, I was just talking to you, Steve, before we came back. It's been 2.5 years, and it's flown by, but I also look back on everything we've done together as a team and as a family and all the shows we did together. It's been crazy. It's been the most fun I've ever had in my life.
Well, good.
And I love you guys.
We love you back, and you're going to be great with Roe, and he's lucky to have you. We will continue our nationwide search. We will look high and low, our intergalactic search to place Kevin and Ross. And by the way, you got a much longer goodbye than my own son. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed that. Jimmy DeCastro.
Larry in corporate and the approval for the afternoon sports guy hasn't come through yet.
This is pending still?
That is the gift from all of us.
What a terrible, terrible
gift. Taking the gifts back.
All right.
Up to the rest of the radio station. Go ahead, open it up quickly. Right. Come on. Right.
What a terrible development.
That's a great wrapping you did there.
This is a very expensive present. We have all taken a collection. You can read the card that's in there later, but just pull that up.
What is it?
His own wind flag.
Oh, okay.
Flag. Yeah. Now you can cover baseball.
There we go.
May you be anything like Dave Ennett in your lifetime, my man.
There you go. Thank you, Jimmy DeCastro.
Sorry for the interruption there.
No.
Morning show.
That's
it's Funky Friday. Come on. Yeah.